The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout.
It's a deep burn. Oh, so deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one?
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry, it's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
Gorgeous day here in New England for another PFW in Progress. Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. Kevin Collins is behind the glass. Yeah, that's right. No Fred today. Fred Kirsch is out in SoCal.
La La Land.
Yeah. What's
living
he doing
it
out
up
there?
I don't know. Some geek meetings.
Digital NFL.
Digital geek meet. I don't know.
Conference.
Chris Ferreira's there, so that tells you all you need to know. It's Geekville.
Hakuna Matata's there, too, though.
And he was very excited about
Baloney.
It.
He should be.
And they are part of the schedule is a Dodgers game.
Oh, really?
They're going to see a Dodgers game.
They're going to Chavez Ravine?
As a geekdom.
Really?
Yeah.
Ferreira sucks. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and, you know, plus it's L.A. You can see some tatas and, you know.
That's true.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Tata and L.A.
Mm-hmm. L.A. and T-A-T-A.
Maybe they'll run into Magic.
Yeah.
You know, part owner of the Dodgers.
That's
and everything.
Right. The guy who owned, or the, somebody involved with Los Angeles was, I was reading, maybe trying to make a bid for the Buffalo Bills.
Oh,
maybe
really?
Try to
move
them
out there.
Then I also saw that there was talk about maybe moving the Bills to London.
London.
Who
London.
Knows? Or maybe they'll just stay put.
Yeah, it seems like there's plenty of interest in the Bills franchise to move it. I'm not sure how much interest there is to
keep it there. Yeah.
And by all accounts, that obviously that would be the ideal, certainly for the people of Buffalo.
Well, more Bills talk later, obviously, because the Bills are really in the news a lot this week. Not only because of that, but their star defensive tackle is drag racing people and crashing his car up. And
Darius, his second arrest of the offseason. The first one hasn't even been.
Right. First one hasn't even been addressed yet.
What do they call that? Adjudicated?
Yeah.
Sure.
And I saw our buddy Mike Rodak sort of wondering what the Bills might do and how they might handle this. And
this microphone.
Interesting little note I hadn't seen previously, that in relation to the Darius arrests, Tim Graham, Paul's old friend, who's a bit of an a-hole on Twitter and seems to fight everybody he is in contact with.
Nice man in person, though.
Speaking of which.
Tweeted that, interesting to see how they handle the Darius situation, because Spikes, Williams, and somebody else were added on...
1 year prove it deal?
Not even prove it. No, what do they call that? No
risk?
No commitment?
No. like zero tolerance policy, basically, were added for those guys who have various transgressions in their history. And he's wondering if sort of this regime and this how lenient they'll be with a guy like Darius, even though he's a Pro Bowl caliber player. Right. And I hadn't seen really much of an allusion to Spikes going there on some, you know, thin ice, you know, them understanding his history and different things. So, you know, we've talked about that, you know, he might not have too many more shots left based on everything he does and sort of the whole total package. But that was the first time I've really seen it from the Buffalo side put into to print. And 140 characters or less.
Before we dive too deep into the Bills offseason, we actually have Patriots football to talk about.
Yes!
Now. Since our last show, we saw our first organized team activity practice of 2014.
And guy in blue shirt was pretty good.
There
I
were
don't know who he was.
There were several of those. Yeah.
Guy in gray shirt was pretty good too.
I
you're
he
right.
Was better.
Yeah. I'm glad you make that that reference, Andy, because our buddy, I think it was Mike Reese from ESPN Boston, put together a list of all 32 NFL teams and what their jersey situation is.
31 of these things go together. Right. One of them just doesn't belong.
The Patriots are the only team in the NFL, I'm sure it comes as a huge shock to all of you, that don't wear any sort of identification on their jerseys. No names, no numbers. Whereas some teams wear a combination of names and numbers or just the numbers.
But not the first time, though.
Just the numbers is fine.
You know, I know it's getting a lot of run.
3 years now.
I mean, this is what they do.
Yeah,
I found it interesting from a marketing perspective. You know how we have, I probably should know what is on the, what's
Gillette?
On the shoulder?
Was Gillette,
yes.
Right?
But, you know, for example, that, you know, they're missing out on exposure for these 3 weeks plus minicamp.
And it also, and the reason I think it's important for us to bring it up is because it makes it, as you were joking about it, but it makes it that much more difficult for us to do our job properly.
And that's the reason it's done.
Well,
no one has said that on the record, but anything you need to know, that's the reason it is done. You know, that people try to tell me, oh, it's for communication purposes, getting to know each other.
Yeah.
You know, somebody asked Josh McDaniels, you know, wouldn't it be easier for you to learn these guys and interact with these guys if they had numbers on? And he joked, you know, no, it's I know these guys. It's easy for me. And I said, it'd be easier for us. Yeah. And he said, I'm sure it would be. And he laughed. That's the reason. There's no doubt in my mind. Anybody can sell me on anything they want.
Sure.
It's so the media can't see what's going on in this early phase where they're going to be not only clamoring for any information they can get, but latching on to, you know, he wasn't out there, but Brandon LaFell was doing this in his first practice that we saw with the, you know, make it harder for people to do that.
But, you know, it's miraculous, Paul, that these other teams, these 31 other teams, some of them have actually won the Super Bowl.
Actually, a lot
since
of them
the last
have won
the
it
Patriots
since Patriots
did, and they've been wearing numbers and names on their jerseys. And
certainly, you can
in
say
OTAs.
Definitively, you know, we were joking around, and we're going to get to some really stat-based football arguments in a little while.
Yeah,
we were joking about the meaningless nature of stats, but here's a stat for you, Andy. 100% of the teams that don't wear numbers on their uniforms do not win the Super Bowl.
It's true.
The last 2 years, 100% of the teams that don't wear numbers on their uniforms.
And you know
you're
what they're saying?
Right,
you know what Michael Smith
you are
says?
Absolutely right.
Numbers never lie.
No. They lie, though, if they're not there. We don't know. Oh, that was so-and-so. Oh, no, it wasn't.
True. Well, that's, when we put together, Paul and I sort of did attendance for the blog, and I did my blog observations. It's catching on everywhere. And I, you know, I put an ish, you know, I said there were 79-ish players out there, and, you know, the guy's not seen, but this is by no means an exhaustive list. And
yeah, you did
I found it
you
interesting
could.
That media, you know, some people were trying to be so definitive with their, and I just think it's a dangerous game
silly.
To play.
Well, virtually every one of those that I read, and this is not a check mark, because it was very difficult to try to identify each and every player, but almost every one that I did see like that, I noticed one that I was like, well, I saw him,
right? Mm.
Or I didn't see someone that they, you know, and I can't definitively say that they were wrong because I didn't see
but
somebody
I just
that they did.
But trying to portray the attendance as official and definitive,
it's almost impossible when they're not wearing uniforms.
And we should also point out that for those of you who've actually been to training camp, and have been to the fields behind Gillette Stadium. During training camp, the fields run, where the media sits, the fields run during training camp, toward us, north to south, toward us. During the spring, they always switch it up. I guess it's for the way they take care of the
probably wear and
the
tear
lawn,
purposes.
The wear and tear on the lawn. They make it go left to right. And so there's one field directly in front of us, and the next field is after that.
And the one directly in front of us gets plenty of time for the grass to grow.
Plenty of time for Stephen Gostkowski and the specialists to kick about over there, while all of the actual, you know, offensive and defensive activity is going on the very front field. So not only do we not have names or numbers, they're on the farther field away. So you have to use your binoculars or your zoom lens if you have one on your camera to try to see anything. So, you know, apologies in advance if some of our, you know, analysis isn't as detailed as it would be during training camp, because we just, you know, it's hard to make out who's who and who's switching in, who's, you know.
But we did see Vince Wilfork out there running nicely.
Yeah.
Until he went in the bubble.
Yeah.
And Gronk was out there running pretty nicely till he went in the bubble.
Right.
Armin Armstead was out till he went in the bubble.
So, let's get the quick rundown of the guys who we know have been hurt and have been rehabbing. Did any of them surprise you with what they were able to do during that OTA that we saw?
No. You know, the guys that we saw getting all the reps, Mayo coming back from the torn pec, which, you know, he's a long ways recovered from that.
Mm-hmm.
Sebastian Vollmer was taking basically, it seemed, full part in all the drills and various things. And, you know, they were out there. Was there one other? There was one other guy that I think had a procedure that was out there. But then the most
Mayo,
of them.
Mayo, Vollmer, Wilfork.
Wilfork went into the bubble.
Tommy Gronkowski Kelly
went into the bubble.
Kelly went into the bubble.
Who else went in? Brandon Bolden went into the bubble.
Dobson?
I never saw him. He's still in a walking boot.
Mm. I never saw him. Not sure if there were
Armstead.
Armstead went into the bubble, right?
Right, which is concerning to me.
Yeah.
Because we've seen nothing from him. He had an infection. I don't know what he's still doing.
It's over a year now. I mean, a year ago was the last time we actually saw him during OTAs or during minicamp.
Very strange. Guys not seen out there that were notable, certainly Logan Mankins would be at the top of that list. Brandon LaFell would be near the top of that list as you look for somebody to sort of work their way into the offensive system and build a rapport with Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Those would be a couple guys that weren't out there that I thought was pretty notable.
Also notable, Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't there, but not because of an injury.
Right. He was at the rookie premiere.
Right, and we just saw there was some video on the TV monitor here in the studio of him.
He claimed he set that straight with Belichick or whatever.
So, yeah, I'm still not clear about whether or not it was mandatory for these guys to go.
No, I don't believe it's mandatory. I believe you choose to do it, you know, which is why you had the misleading tweets from, like, Mike Reese. Like, he chose to do it, but if you choose to, you have to go, is the way, you know, I think that's what Mike meant to say.
And
you
it's
can't,
an NFL
like, show up late.
It's an NFL-sanctioned event,
well,
correct?
It's an NFLPA event.
Okay, then.
I don't know the exact.
Does the NFLPA not look at the calendar and realize that this is OTA and minicamp time?
As far as I can remember, this is the first time I've noticed this. The Patriots have had guys there before, and this event happens every year for the last two decades.
But I don't think it's ever conflicted with anything.
I don't think it has. Now, maybe in the past, like this week, we have Thursday. It's Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Last week, we had Friday. Maybe
which means we might have
done
a change in the schedule. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, we'll be doing the show 1 to 3 on Thursday. But maybe it was just a thing for some. I don't know why the Patriots were on Friday last week and on Thursday this week. Maybe it's always been Thursday in the past and the guy has left, whatever. But Asa Watson and Jimmy Garoppolo were in L.A.
Yep.
meeting with marketing companies, learning things, doing interviews, during shooting cards, photos for their cards in the L.A. Coliseum, putting, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm not sure that Asa Watson card's ever going to be worth much.
But it would have been nice to see Garoppolo at least in a uniform.
I don't
know if
I've seen him. He should be here.
I saw him in a uniform.
It's
true.
Out in L.A.
He's one of two Patriots wearing a jersey.
I didn't see any other guys
in
uniforms.
That's true.
But I, for both those guys, I think it's a terrible decision for their careers.
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy Garoppolo, you're a quarterback. You need every rep you can get to get the offense as soon as possible. And Asa Watson, I've kept saying, you never know what day you're going to do something that impresses somebody, that earns you an extra day, an extra week, an extra check mark.
An extra opportunity.
Right.
To show that you can do it.
So, I think it's terrible the way it worked out. I still don't totally understand how and why they're chosen.
Mm. I alluded to something statistical-based earlier in the show. Our buddy, who has been on our show before from Pro Football Focus,
who we apparently
Sam Monson,
ripped.
Who evidently Andy really, really
Whoa, why is it just me now?
Because you were the one who was calling people names.
Yeah, that's possible.
But he wrote something on ESPN.com in their insider page about how Tom Brady is no longer one of the five best quarterbacks in football, and we are lucky enough to have Sam on the line right now. So we're going to hear right from the horse's mouth. We're going to go right to Sam Monson, and we're going to find out why Sam believes that Tom Brady is no longer one of the five best quarterbacks in football. Sam, I thank you for joining us here on PFW in Progress. Eric Scalavino, Andy Hart, I'm Paul Perillo. Why is he not one of the five best quarterbacks in football?
Hey, guys, long time no speak.
We'll try.
Let us just apologize first
in advance
for last time when we gave you crap, apparently, which I have a short memory. And I'm going to apologize in advance in case I offend you at any point during this interview.
And we're going to have him on a leash, Sam. We're going to have Andy on a leash this time. So,
So why does Brady stink?
Feel free and tell us why that Tom Brady is all done.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
We're just playing.
Rain it back in a sec.
Yes.
And point out that nowhere in the article am I saying he's done or he sucks or he's useless.
No, as a matter of fact, and I'll help Sam, I'll help you out right here. You wrap up your whole piece by saying there is no doubt that Brady is still a good quarterback. His peak was so high that even in the midst of decline, there is a lot of room to fall before it becomes a problem. So Sam is not saying that Tom Brady is not still a very good quarterback. So I'll help you out there.
There you go. What I am saying is that I don't think he's at that elite level with Peyton Manning, with Aaron Rodgers anymore. I think he's a step below those guys. And he's in that next group of quarterbacks that are in that kind of, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 range, the next tier down of quarterbacks. And one of the reasons I think this is if you look at what happens now when Tom Brady gets pressured, I think it's far worse than it ever used to be when Brady was the quarterback. And I know, you know, weapons are definitely a factor and the guys he's thrown to are an issue, but the bottom line is that all other top quarterbacks fare dramatically better against pressure than Brady does at this point in his career. And I think, you know, there's a chance that the Patriots will repair that offensive line and it will become a much better unit. And if it does, you know, Brady's numbers will probably go back up and go back up to a significant degree. But if it doesn't, and if that offensive line remains even just, you know, an average unit, I think we're going to see Brady continue to decline slowly.
Now, Sam, in your metrics and all your numbers and everything, and you mentioned the offensive line, pressure was certainly an issue last year. He had a ton of sacks, certainly the first half of the season. But how much of that comes into play with how he's working within the offense, new receivers, young receivers? Was he holding on to the ball more because certain reads weren't coming as they should and he had to move on to his second reads? And how much of this changed in the middle of the year when he had Rob Gronkowski on the field, and where would he have ranked had he had Gronk all year?
Yeah, look, I think it's extremely difficult to try and isolate one guy's play from everything else around him in anything when you start talking about football. And when you start talking about how did Brady play, the offensive line is going to be a factor, the guys he's throwing to is going to be a factor. And, you know, you can definitely point to plays where the rookie receivers and the kind of the lower end of the guys in his receiving corps definitely didn't help him out. There's drop passes, there's guys running the wrong routes. But there's an awful lot of Tom Brady just missing guys that were open as well. You know, there's overthrowing wide open receivers. It wasn't all those guys. And it definitely, his numbers and his performance spiked when Gronkowski came back. But Gronkowski is sufficiently good that I think you could put him on any roster in the NFL and he would have a similar kind of spike, whoever that quarterback was, even on teams that are already loaded. You know, if you replace Julius Thomas with Rob Gronkowski, Peyton Manning would look better. I think that's how impactful and that's how good Gronkowski is.
Agree.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement on that. Yeah. And Sam, you talk a lot about the pressure, and you talked about, and I'm reading right from your story here, the best quarterbacks are accurate on about 70% of their passes under pressure, and you have a parenthetical here, completion percentage adjusted for drops, less throwaways, spikes, etc. And you say how Manning had a 69% completion percentage in such situations last year, while Brady's was down to 57.6. In the past, it was as high as 70.7. I'm curious how you sort of compute pressure. And does it matter how long it takes for the pressure to get there? Is it a blitz? Is it just a throw under duress? How exactly do you come up with, define the term pressure?
For that statistic, it won't matter how long the pressure took to get there. So if Brady is hurried at any point during the passing play, it will go down as a play under pressure for that number. Now, the whether who gets the blame for that pressure, et cetera, depends on how long it took to develop what happened, et cetera. But just in terms of the plays under pressure, it's not going to be a factor how long it took to develop.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because I would think, and I don't have the numbers because we don't obviously do the type of exhaustive statistical research that you guys do, but it would seem to reason a lot of those quick throws that Brady, the timing throws that Brady has really become known for, my guess is a lot of times last year, those quick drops in sets, the guy wasn't really either open or where he was supposed to be often, especially in the first half of the year when it was when you were dealing with Aaron Dobson, Kembrell Tompkins, you know, a bunch of kids, Zach Sudfeld early in the season.
I think that's why we saw Edelman have such a
good
year.
And I think that's why the pressure on the passer I was so much better. I don't think the offensive line was that much worse last year. I think they struggled
at times in
protection, but I don't think the protection was much worse than it has always been. But I think the ball was not getting out as quickly as it normally is, and I think that disrupted everything. But I don't know if there's mechanisms in your research to take stuff like that into consideration.
There's definitely an element of that. I think Brady had, I think, the fifth highest percentage of his passes came in were out of his hands in under 2.5 seconds. So there's still an awful lot of throws that are in rhythm. And when he's throwing in rhythm and when he isn't, you know, forced to move off his spot, he's still extremely effective. I think the problems occur when he is forced to move. And on that kind of 38.5% of plays where he's forced to hold the ball a little longer, whether that's, you know, whether it's a design deep play or whether that's because a guy wasn't open and he has to go off to a second guy, that's where he struggles, and that's inviting a bit more pressure from that offensive line. But I think the other thing is that even when we're not talking about a massive upswing in pressure that's come from that offensive line, but we are talking about a fairly significant change in Brady's performance under that pressure over the past few years. So he's gone from a guy who would basically never make mistakes under pressure. You know, he made a lot of good plays. He made teams punished teams even when he was under pressure, to now a guy where when the heat is applied to him, there's a lot of bad plays coming. Last year, he threw 5 picks to only 5 touchdowns when he was pressured. And that's a big drop from his sort of previous ratios.
Just to back up your point before we move on, I do want to touch on some other topics while we have you, but Josh McDaniels talked about how they did on Friday's OTAs while we were out there, worked on a lot of stuff where the quarterbacks were either moving or throwing off tempo, off, you know, foot, not, you know, perfect, fundamentally where they, and he admitted, you know, that's not one of our strengths, but we looked back at last year and said we could have made plays. It cost us last year because we couldn't make some of those throws. So they certainly acknowledge that on some level and are working on that. And as he was raving about Brady always working to get better and continuing to improve in his 15th season, that is clearly one of the things they've targeted. So at least that backs up your numbers. But I do want to get some other topics out there for you, and I know you probably maybe are sort of focused on this right now. I know you've been getting a lot of attention because of this article, but I wanted your research and your evaluations in recent years of Darrelle Revis as a player. What can he mean to the Patriots defense this year? What sort of an upgrade can he be over Tlaib, or do your numbers say he's even an upgrade over Tlaib? Just sort of paint the Darrelle Revis picture in the Patriots secondary.
I'm tremendously excited about seeing Revis in the Patriots secondary. I think the Patriots are one of the few teams in the league that are prepared to take advantage of Revis that in a way that really maximizes what he allows you to do on defense. If you look at what the Jets did, you know, they moved him around, they used him to track receivers, and they rolled everything else away from him. They basically left him on Revis Island, and it allowed them to use the other 10 guys in creative ways that essentially nobody else in the league is able to get away with, you know, because they have to play guys more honest than that. The Buccaneers weren't going to do that. They just stuck Revis on one side of the field and said, you deal with the guy that's opposite you, and we'll play defense the way we normally do everywhere else. The Patriots, I think, will be more like the Jets in that they'll move him around, they'll, you know, roll safeties away from him, they'll leave him on an island, and they will exploit what that allows them to do by getting a lot more creative in coverage everywhere else. And I think that's the real value in Revis. It's not necessarily how well he does against just one guy. It's what he allows you to do everywhere else in the defense.
Well, let's take that to the next step forward, which is coverage playing in concert with pressure. What do your numbers tell you about, A, Are the Patriots ready to be more aggressive and take advantage of that on defense in terms of the pass rush? And what did you see last year? Because from my point of view, it seemed that they were a more aggressive front last year in terms of the pass rush. I thought there were more corner blitzes, slot blitzes, and I also thought there were more stunts and games on the inside, especially early in the year with Kelly and some of those guys. What have your pass rush numbers on the Patriots said the last couple of years and how that might project moving forward with Revis?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing, is that the coverage and pass rush is such an interlinked, you know, such a symbiotic relationship, that having a guy who's able to lock down one receiver in coverage allows you to do more things in terms of blitz and allows you to bring pressure in more creative ways. And that's another thing that the Jets used to do with Revis, is they would blitz from all over the place because they could take guys that were usually, you know, other teams usually require in coverage and locking up a zone, and they could just take that guy out because they had Revis there. And I think, you know, the Patriots haven't been able to generate a massive amount of pressure in the past few years. And I think last year was them trying to get a bit more creative and trying to generate it from other means. I think Revis is going to be big in allowing them to do that again.
You know, piggybacking on Andy's point, I wanted to ask you one more thing about the secondary. Brandon Browner is a guy that they also brought in.
Mm-hmm.
He sort of, you know, he had the problems with the suspensions in Seattle, but some people I've talked to said that he wasn't playing exceptionally well at the time anyway, and that Seattle wasn't all that disappointed to sort of walk away from him. What did your research tell you on Brandon Browner? How good was he last year when he was on the field?
I don't think he was tremendous last year, but we're talking about a pretty small sample size, so
yeah.
You know, I wouldn't want to get too deep into analyzing how well he was playing. I think the interesting thing with Browner is he's pretty scheme-specific, and the Seahawks never asked him to move around. So if you've got a guy like Revis and you're prepared to use him to track a receiver, that's all well and good, but you need a second corner who could kind of do that as well. You need a second guy who's comfortable playing on both sides of the field, because he's going to have to move to accommodate Revis moving. We've never seen that from Browner, so we don't know whether he can do it or not. What we do know is that he can play, you know, aggressive press, tight man coverage, and be pretty good at it. And, you know, there's very few receivers that are able to break away from his kind of physical coverage.
All right, Sam, so I just want to summarize before we let you pump your website. Brady is just about done and declining, falling off a cliff, and Darrell Revis is awesome and the defense is going to be much better. Is that accurate?
There you go.
All right, before we let you go,
I have one kind of thing I wanted to touch just on the Brady thing. And I'm going to, in full disclosure, Eric and I, you know, I'm not saying we would go as far as you've gone in this story, but we both believe that Brady has been declining the last few years.
Yeah.
Our boss, who is not here today, unfortunately, he is at some of the league meetings, really takes us to task for that. So I want to say that I am supporting what you're talking about here in my overall belief.
Yeah.
But especially the part where you were saying that, you know, he's overthrowing guys, or
there's been guys open that he's missed more regularly, in my opinion.
Wide open.
Yeah, he stinks.
But I will say this, defeating my own argument, 4 or 5 times last year, I think Tom Brady won games for this team.
Oh, sure.
Late in games with throws like against New Orleans.
Yep.
You know, even the first game of the year against Buffalo.
Yeah.
Where does that sort of rank? I mean, is that you know, in any of these rankings at all, do you take into account the fact that, once again, he quarterbacked a team that won 12 games and was able to get to the AFC Championship game? And a lot of those wins, I would say that I don't think just any average quarterback could have won.
No, I think that's fair, and I think that's why he's still an extremely good quarterback. You know, nobody's writing the guy off. And, you know, in 2014, if the weapons are slightly improved, if the offensive line has been improved, he may even perform slightly better than he did this year, because it is all interlinked. But I think the fact that he's declining in and of itself is significant. And I think the only question is, how steep is that curve going to be, and how long has he got left?
And is he going to drop out of the PFF top 100? Because he's, you know, precariously close at number 90. Was that it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Then we're in real trouble.
I mean, 89 players I'd rather have than Tom Brady. Just kidding. Before we let you go, tell us the website information so if fans want to get on over. And I know you guys sell memberships for the premium stuff. You don't just give it all away. Let our listeners know how they can get that.
Yeah, they can go to profootballfocus.com. All the information is there. You'll be able to get a free kind of sneak of what's behind the paywall and you know, work out if that's for you.
See, and it was painless. I didn't call you a douchebag. I didn't say you were a hack of stats who knows nothing about the game. Wasn't this much more fun this time?
This has been beautiful this time.
One last question. How do you find time to watch all this film?
Well, it's my job.
I know, but still, it's breaking down a football game is not easy.
You don't have a lot of sex,
and it's not
do you?
Quick.
Do you have a lot of sex?
That's the evening.
See, that's the kind of inappropriateness that Andy brings. We apologize for that, Sam.
See you, Sam. We love
you. Sam, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much. So, you know, listen, I don't entirely agree with it. I still think Brady's... I know that Fred and Andy like to paint me in this corner as the Brady hater.
Yeah. No, not in the regular season.
Well,
you're the
true.
Brady postseason.
If this was just
hater,
postseason
yeah.
numbers, then listen, numbers speak for themselves. But, you know, he does have some metrics here that back up what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I think where I would disagree with is I think he's putting too much stock in one particular metric. In this case would be the throws under pressure. And he writes it. I mean, 57% of his passes, that's 28th in the league in those situations. He talked about his touchdown to interception ratio under pressure. Well, the last few years, it's gone from 6-1 to 4-1 to 2-1 to 1-1 in 2013. That's the ratio. 5 touchdowns, 5 picks last year. So when he talks about he's declining, he doesn't just say, well, he's declining.
Yeah,
he's giving you something to tell you why.
Right. But you know me,
I
err on
a little
the side
too much
of
that. I know. 5 years after he's all done, you'll say he's done.
No, but I err on the side of, yeah, he's declining because Hernandez is in jail, Welker's in Denver, Edelman is now his main target, Amendola couldn't stay on the
Gronk's
field,
hurt
he couldn't
a lot.
Be where he wanted to. Gronk's, his numbers were better a couple years ago when he had elite talent around him. Now, if that means he's declining, maybe he's declining because he can no longer rise above the issues that he faces around him.
Yeah, but he is also an aging human being.
Correct.
He's getting older. I mean, naturally, his skills are going to diminish sooner
Correct.
Or later. And Paul and I think, have only been saying we've noticed a slight decline in absolute greatness to maybe just greatness. You know, which is still better than most of the quarterbacks
certainly.
In the league.
Certainly.
And I would say,
even Paul brings up the good late, you know, that he won some games last year.
Right.
Well, he also tried to lose that Saints game with a pick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't just like, you know, same old Tom Brady, games on the line, no mistakes, right down the field, boom, it's over.
I mean, I would even count the Cleveland game where he had a couple of chances before it got to the point where they needed to recover an onside kick.
Right.
And then he ended up throwing a touchdown.
Whereas in the old days, maybe they don't even get to that point.
I actually thought the most interesting thing that Sam brought up was the stuff on Browner, because you don't really think about that.
Yeah.
You know, everybody fixates on, you know, Aqib Talib certainly fixates on that Richard Sherman doesn't move around. You know, we like to think some of the best corners in this league play both sides and chase guys all over the field.
I actually thought that was interesting.
They don't do that in Seattle.
Talib talk like that.
Yeah. And to say that, okay, Revis is going to follow around the best receiver, well, that means Browner has to move, and Browner hasn't done that all much. How comfortable is he? How good can he be? And in that role, because the guys here already have done it because they did it when Talib did
it for the last two years. Lot of people around here have said, you know, it's Revis and Browner, Revis and Browner, Revis and Browner. Well,
it's stupid.
Revis.
Just like it was Gronk and Hernandez.
And they also signed Browner.
It was Gronk
and
Hernandez.
I don't mean
Gronk
that.
Gronk is an elite Hall of Fame talent. Hernandez
very
is a
similar.
Good talent. Now, I actually think Hernandez was better. Browner needs to prove to me that he can be
Hernandez.
I think
Hernandez is closer to Gronk than Browner is to Revis.
It's also closer to Bubba.
Yeah, well, these things happen, you know. Unfortunate set of circumstances.
He went into prison a tight end. Now he's a wide receiver.
Allegedly. But, I mean, I do think that the Browner stuff is worth sort of delving into. Because
that was a good point. I feel like the
mentality around here, and listen, it may end up being accurate. Maybe this guy is just waiting to, you know, emerge as one of those really top-flight cornerbacks, but I haven't seen that in his career yet.
Yeah,
I think he's been a good player on a great defense, and we'll see.
To take that a step further and bring it back full circle to where we started, during OTAs the other day, he was on the sideline while Logan Ryan took a lot of reps with Darrell Revis on the other side. Now, he rotated through, but it wasn't just like, well, Revis and Browner are here. They're our corners. They're out there with McCourty.
No.
There was plenty of rotating at that right corner spot with Logan Ryan getting a lot of reps.
And I think that, you know.
And Alphonso Dennard was not on the field. So that may have even been more rotational or different. So Browner is not being given a position
I know everybody competes for their position, but Darrell Revis was given the left cornerback
spot. Yeah.
And Browner was not given the right cornerback
spot. And part of that, the right cornerback rotation, too, is probably a little bit of, you know, planning ahead for the first month of the season when we have to figure out who can play opposite Revis.
But I think if Darrell Revis were suspended for the first four games, he'd still be out there at left corner.
I do, too. Probably.
Especially in light of the fact that they're new to the team.
Correct.
If it was Dennard, I don't think it would be that big of a deal.
Right.
Because he's obviously been in the system for 2 years. You need to get these guys up to speed.
Might be Dennard.
Right. Yeah.
Well, he could be suspended
right.
as well.
There's still a chance that Dennard's not.
I mean, I got to think at this point that he's going to be okay.
He's riding the Irsay highway. It doesn't apply to everyone.
Yeah. Well, I think Irsay is going to end up eventually.
I think Dennard should, personally.
I think they're being extremely cautious with how they deal with
it. I got to think if you have a personal conduct policy and you spend time behind bars, you broke the policy and should miss some time.
Well, I
there's degrees and everything, but you were in prison.
Especially with the follow-up.
Yes.
To me, that's the one that, can't be ignored.
I give him the out because the differentiation, was he a member of the NFL? Was he part of the shield? Was he part of the policy the first time?
The second time he was.
And now I'm going to double slap you because the first time I may have given you a little bit of lenience because technically you weren't in the league.
Yeah, he was only a week away from being in the league.
And I think he was in the league. I think once you go to the combine, you're essentially an NFL
player.
You're wearing their logos, their sponsors, you're doing interviews on their network. The podium has your logo, whatever. You're part of the league. But you gave him the benefit of the doubt and you didn't suspend him for that one. He had a second one.
Right.
I think he should be suspended.
You know what else I thought was interesting when that you know, you brought up Tlaib and how he was talking about Sherman, how he doesn't move around. But did you hear that, you know, he obviously, cornerbacks and wide receivers, they're a very confident, brash bunch. He puts himself in that group, unlike Sam Monson. He puts himself in the top five. But it was...
Mayock puts him in the top five.
It was Sherman. He talked about
30 deep.
But. He talked about Sherman. He talked about Revis.
Pat Pete?
Pat Pete.
I liked that.
Who's the other guy? Joe Hayden.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Hayden is a terrific player.
Yeah.
But that's what the peers think how good. I don't think a lot of people realize that he is that good. Right. I mean, I certainly don't look at him as that, you know, elite. I think he's a good, solid cornerback. But I was my eyes opened when I heard him include Joe Hayden with the Petersons, the Shermans, and the Revises of the world.
Yeah.
Different. I don't know how you guys felt. I mean, do you feel like him? When you think of Joe Hayden, do you think of him as that?
I think he's a very good
player. Yeah, no, I don't think he was a stiff or anything. But
last
did you think
year,
of him as elite?
I heard a lot of people saying
he's not
talked at like that, but he really is one of the best five corners.
Yeah.
Last year was when I noticed it, and then it started to make sense to me that the last couple years you say, that Cleveland defense is pretty good. And generally teams that have one of the best corners in football, their defense is pretty
good.
So now I'm saying there's the reason why I can't name a ton of players on the Cleveland defense, but they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's, you know, the Joe Hayden, Darrell Revis, Richard Sherman trickle-down effect.
Webradio@patriots.com is our email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855.
We're done with the stat geeks. We're going to start talking real football now.
And Sam in Chicago has already written in and about the jersey numbers and the names during the OTAs. And he says, Andy said it, I really don't think it's a media dodge. Really, if you had to, what would be the number one internal benefit be for the team not to wear numbers? It must be team building. You guys are great, but I really don't think they think you're that important.
I think Bill Belichick puts a lot of premium on F in the media.
I do.
I don't think it has as – I think that's a nice ancillary benefit is screwing us.
Yeah.
But I think what he's doing is he wants to make everything as vague as possible.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're writing stuff that's in vague terms.
Right.
So it's not giving anybody anything that they can read.
He doesn't want a rundown of players.
They read this stuff in other cities, and that's part of, you know how they always say it's another piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
We go to the combine, we do an interview, we do this.
Right.
It's just another piece. That's a piece of their information puzzle, is they read out of town stuff about OTAs, what's going on there, who might get cut, this guy. That's how you have an idea of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Around here, the stories that are getting written in the paper are all very vague.
Yeah.
Because we don't know for sure.
They have to be.
People are talking about personnel groups. It's very easy to sit there and say, well, this is the nickel package they were using on Thursday. It ain't that easy when there's no uniforms, when you're trying
far
to figure away. Out five different guys without the benefit of a number. So,
and they're not all, you know, Browner kind of stands out. Vince Wilfork stands out. Gronk. But,
exactly. There's
I keep saying Logan Ryan and Ron Harmon.
Your certain body types.
I don't know.
You
made a comment about, well, Ryan was with a group that included Revis, and then Browner was rotating in. Well, Arrington was part of a lot of those groups as the slot guy. He was kind of the slot guy in everything. You know, was he with Ryan more often than Browner?
Right.
Was
you know, I don't know. Well, in other cities, when you're looking at the numbers, they know that, and it's in the paper definitively.
Right.
And I think that's part of the reason why he doesn't like to have it. I think it's something he can do because no one forces his hand on it.
No one's enforcing
it. So he's doing it.
But anyway, Sam,
to think this has anything to do with team building, the players know who everybody is.
Sam,
the coaches,
and they all laugh when you say that. Players, coaches, they all laugh.
Of course they laugh.
This has nothing to do with team building. You don't need to know a guy's face as opposed to his number.
Or his voice.
Which I always say, you know, you practice like you play. You never play without jerseys. You never have to identify him by face.
That's true.
He will always have a jersey on the field. 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Well, I can't guarantee that. I don't know the rules about that, if Belichick can get the power to remove names. But
anyway, Sam wants to know, what did you guys think? Grammar was not proper here. What do you guys think you see out in the field that gave you interest?
What did I see that
Josh Boyce. Paul likes Boyce.
I like Boyce.
And he said he looked much more confident while deflecting passes over the
I talked to him about it afterwards. He agreed. Felt more comfortable.
So he felt good when he did that set pass to the safety.
Feels more
him.
Comfortable in what he's doing. In all seriousness, but you know, Andy has to pick one play apart. Just like, you know, one guy gets caught drinking, that makes him a raging drunk, according to Andy.
No.
One bad drop aside, I thought that he did some stuff inside, some stuff outside. I thought that was interesting. And I did feel like the way he carried himself, the way he was running, I thought he ran with, it looked like he was playing more than thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, young guys, a lot of times you can almost see the wheels turning. Andy and I were really watching a drill that Tom Brady was doing early with all the wide receivers. They were doing some back shoulder throws, and he was talking about how he was imploring almost every one of them, don't stop running. Don't slow down. You never know. I might just throw a go, and you won't be able to see it.
Yeah.
Just run the route. Don't slow down.
Right.
Well, I thought that the wheels were turning on a lot of those undrafted rookies that we don't know much about yet.
And the white one he really talked to.
Yeah, I forget the guy's name. He had
Is that Wiggins?
The funny.
He had Joe Van Allen?
Like the Van Hooser or
Van
like
Hooser
that.
Something.
Something, whatever.
Hoosowitz.
Eric, if you can't fill in the blanks for the names. What are you doing for us here?
I still have to know who these guys are.
I think that you could see them thinking, all right, I need to run 8 steps, and then I need to sort of break down and look back. And you could almost see the wheels turn, and I thought Boyce looked like he was running a little bit more fluidly, like Edelman and Amendola and the guys that have done it before.
He has the benefit this year, too, of being healthy.
Yep.
Last year, last year he had the toe surgery and all that and being behind. Yeah. And
Josh was raving about all those guys being, it's so obvious they're not rookies, so obvious they're not starting at stage one. And I thought was most interesting, and this is available on Patriots.com, Josh McDaniels' little story, exciting to see how far we can go with those guys. And I thought that was sort of piggybacking on Bill's comments at the end of the season when he really emphasized the young receivers and, you know, how different it's going to be and the expectation in year two and the growth and blah. We may look at one thing and see it one way. I think they have a vision of a higher upside with these young receivers than maybe we're acknowledging.
Well, which was disappointing that we didn't get to see Dobson. And we knew,
Correct. We
kind of knew we probably wouldn't. Or
right.
At the very most, we'd see him on the sideline watching.
Right.
But he's going to be a huge part of things, especially if Ronk's not there early, because they need a big and LaFell maybe as well, but they need a big target out there, I think, especially maybe not for the deep balls, but because this team can move the ball between the 20s. When they get into the red zone, you know Gronk's unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
They need somebody who can fight for the ball on a lot of those jump ball kind of routes.
And speaking of that, we should mention, Paul and I sort of talked about this on the roster report on Friday, but various sources, National Football Post, have now confirmed that JerMichael Finley, injured tight end from the Green Bay Packers, had a spinal
severely,
or a neck contusion, is supposedly cleared to play by everybody from his camp. Visited the Patriots apparently reportedly last Friday
after being checked out by his old team, the Packers.
So add him to the Dustin Keller list of injured tight ends that this team could sign post June 1, and it's post June 1.
Right, and as I was just going to say, we've been saying for the last few weeks now.
Expect the signing within the week. You know, I think that you want to get whoever you sign, you want to get him out on the field as quickly as you can. You want to at least have him out there for minicamp.
Yeah.
So I think you want to get somebody in here as quickly as possible.
I'd be stunned if it's Finley. I really would.
I would too, because, I mean, a knee is one thing. They've gotten to the point in the medical world where you can suffer one of those injuries and it's not career-threatening. You can come back. You can still be,
and you can contribute limping. We saw Jake Ballard do it.
Right.
He can be on the practice field. He then went to Arizona and while still limping, contributed.
Right.
You can't contribute with a spine injury if it's still in any way part of the radar
screen. How do you, mentally, how do you go onto a football field and put that aside? And think, you know, I'm going to be crashing heads with a guy. I could potentially paralyze myself.
Well, he's
or
got
whatever.
The other issue I mean, everybody was talking about is if he doesn't play again, he gets $10 million. He has an insurance policy.
I saw Ross Tucker.
I got to tell you, I'd be taking my $10 million and calling it a career.
That's a big roll of the dice. Not only are you playing with your life, but
your finances.
You can't even say that you're doing it because you had to.
Right. $10 million is more than most players end their career with. He's going to get $10 million, and
absolutely.
I believe I read from Andrew Brand, it's $10 million tax-free. So it's not even like
oh, really?
How's
like
that work?
$10 million salary is $6 million or whatever you
insurance
walk away
payouts
with.
Are tax free.
That's what I read on Twitter.
Hey, they don't lie on the Twitter.
Yeah,
well,
sure.
They some people sure. do, but Andrew Brandt is pretty reliable.
That wasn't a shot at you.
No. This is a shot at like if Rappaport writes it on Twitter, I may or may not believe it. If Adam Schefter or Andrew Brandt write it, I believe it a lot more. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
The only thing Adam Schefter's ever gotten wrong is when he said that Ryan Mallett was one of the best players in football last summer or whatever. And that's just because he was carrying water for someone.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't
Jay Glazier, I would include him. If he writes it, it's usually 99.9% of the time accurate.
You know what I found funny with, going back to Sam, because
you just
ESPN
love Sam.
Is talking about him now.
Hi, Sam. I love you. I love stats. I'm Paul.
He says Sam Monson of PFF no longer believes Brady is a top five quarterback, but he kind of doesn't say it in the story, and he certainly didn't say it to us. He says he's not with that elite group of Manning, Breeze, and Rodgers. To me, that leaves two more spots in the top five.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I'm not
it's
sure.
It's the opposite of the Mayock top five. He's taking
he's
players
top five
out of
and only has three.
Yeah,
which is probably more accurate.
I have more respect for it. My top five. I don't have. I don't
have
five. I only
there.
Have three.
You know, when they do that on like visually, they
right.
put like they list, and then there's a jump. There's
yes.
like an arrow that signifies there's a big spot in
yeah.
between here. Well, he can say that. That's fine.
Did you get that impression that like he didn't necessarily
yes.
think he wasn't a top five quarterback? I mean, that's what it said. That was the headline said.
Well, headline writers are trying to grab some clicks.
Yeah,
and it you know.
And I did joke about it with you guys, but the headline said Brady's no longer a top five quarterback. The first line was Brady, Manning, Breeze, Rodgers, the elite quarterback Mount Rushmore. How many is that?
Four.
That's four. So I don't know. I don't know exactly what he thinks of Brady at this point. He certainly thinks he's on a decline.
Correct.
But I don't know.
But still good.
Where that you know. One of the guys that he talked about
probably should have asked him, "Who are your top five quarterbacks?"
Well, I thought we got kind of long, and we wanted to move away from it. But he mentioned, you know, if a guy like Philip Rivers can, you know, maintain the level he played last year, you know, but he says Brady has slipped below patches like Philip Rivers if he maintains 2013 performance level and Ben Roethlisberger. Russell Wilson has already led his team to a Super Bowl and shown a Brady-like knack for making plays at the right time. Andrew Luck is well on his way to surpassing Brady if the Colts can give him a little more help. So none of these guys he's definitively putting ahead right. of Brady.
And I also don't like how he's wording all of those.
Yeah.
Guess what? Brady won a Super Bowl. So Russell Wilson, he's done that. Guess what? Brady, if I put Gronk on the field, if I don't even add talent, if I put one guy that's on his team on the field, like Andrew Luck, give him more talent.
Right.
So you're telling me all these. Now, the Rivers one I find interesting because I don't think Rivers had a lot of talent last year.
He did.
He had a good year.
And he had a terrific year.
So he
although
Keenan
Allen came on, but I mean, rookie. I mean, you're talking the same thing.
Yeah.
Patriots,
right. That's
right.
what I mean.
Rookie
I
receiver.
Think he had a very impressive year because Danny Woodhead was a big part of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like
he
he's
didn't
loaded
lots,
with
he didn't
elite
have a
talent.
Lot to,
yeah.
to work
Gates
with.
Isn't the player he used
no,
to be.
So but it's a muddy situation that when you're talking about it. And I don't think we cleared it up any by talking
no,
about
and,
it.
No, and you know, it's like you know, I made the comment to Andy, Eric.
Who's Andy Eric?
Pro Football Focus has sort of stood on its own as sort of this statistical numbers-based site with a lot of analysis. And now, evidently, they must be tied to ESPN in some way because he wrote this piece as an insider, ESPN.com insider piece. It's been on SportsCenter all day. I feel like this story was ESPNized.
Yeah.
I don't think it was anywhere near as strongly written as
ESPN is making it out to be.
The headlines sort of grabbing you. They're trying to, Brady's no longer elite? Brady's not in the top five? Well, I'm reading the analysis and it's not really saying that.
Yeah.
Certainly from talking to Sam, he's telling you how good he still thinks Brady is, and if that
the performance around him gets better, he certainly has room for to get right back to that level.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure that this was really meant to be taken as strongly as it's being portrayed.
Yeah. Christian from Jacksonville, Florida, not the one we're used to
okay.
dealing with, says...
Our Christian is from Jackassville.
Oh, he's going to be calling in soon. Yeah, I can feel
it. Up.
Dear okay, hold, this, hold on a second.
This
quiet
is Chris,
down.
Yeah. This is... exactly. This is Christian in Jacksonville. Dear PFW boys, we used to have a wide talent gap between us and the rest of the AFC East and between us and most of the other AFC teams. How concerned are each of you that our gap is closer or that other teams, i.e. Houston, Jets, Fins, are now more talented than us, team-wide?
I think you could argue that the gap is closing on some level. You know, I certainly think there are playmakers and interesting talent on all three other teams. You know, we've talked a lot about the Jets.
They've had a
very good defense.
Yep.
We like their draft. They added playmakers to an offense that wasn't very good and was borderline college level or inept last year. In Miami, I still think it has a lot to do with the quarterback. You know, it does in New York too, but in Miami, yeah. You know, now you're on that make or break time.
Yep.
Is Tannehill a franchise quarterback who's going to be there for the next 6, 8, 10 years? Or is he a guy that's an athletic tease who's never going to put it together consistently to be an NFL guy?
And you can't get past that.
No, you can't.
Because, I mean, I know this is probably not what Christian's looking to hear, but I think that the 2009, 2010, that era, I think the Jets were a more talented team than the Patriots. But the quarterback gap was just so large that they couldn't beat the Patriots for a 16-game span. They could line up and play against the Patriots any
sure.
given time they played.
And be competitive. Yeah.
And they could win.
Yep.
They won in that 2-year span. I think they won one more than they lost. I think they won 3 and lost 2.
Including the playoff
game. But they couldn't do it over a 16-game span because they just didn't have the quarterback. But I think if you're lining up player for player at that time, I'm not sure that the Patriots had an edge in more spots than the Jets did. I understand where he's going. I do think that the three teams are more talented now than they have been. But Andy hits the nail, and that's the only question that needs to even be discussed. Can E.J. Manuel, Geno Smith, or Michael Vick?
Or Michael Vick, yeah.
And Ryan Tannehill, can they play well enough to make their teams legitimate competitors with the Patriots for the division? I say no.
I also think
the gap has closed in terms of the Patriots used to have more assumed players that you knew exactly what you were going to get out of them, better or worse, probably. I think there are a lot more question marks on the Patriots, which makes them more like the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets. You know, Revis is going to be great. Okay, so put him in a separate category. But, you know, Browner is a question mark.
Yeah.
You know, offensively, you're a question mark. The weapons, the health, all of that is a question mark. Chandler Jones, is he going to take that next step so every year you know for sure he is a
double
not
digits,
dominant but very yeah. good edge player?
Yeah.
Is Dante Hightower taking that next step so you now say those guys are known commodities? I don't know the answer to that right now, and I think Miami has that. I think the Bills have some of that. I think the Jets have some of that.
And he mentioned
– so you're now part of the pack.
Christian,
but I feel a lot more comfortable just analyzing that division in the fact that you have Brady.
And he also I was listening to Sam for the first 20 minutes.
Christian also mentioned Houston in his email as, you know, with AFC-wide teams and whether or not the gap is closing. I think Houston has immense talent.
Oh, yeah.
I think Houston's
but their quarterback now...
I think Houston's a good team.
Right.
Is a question mark.
Very much.
Where it
and more of a question mark than even it was when you thought
like,
of
right.
Matt Schaub.
Right,
like
exactly.
If Brady or Manning were the quarterback in Houston last year, how many games do you think they would have won?
14.
12,
good,
right?
Yeah. Good number.
Probably.
I mean, I don't look at them as a 2-14 team.
No.
In terms of their talent.
Yeah, the record probably would have been inverted.
If you remember, they went from not very good. They added, who's the corner? Jonathan Joseph.
Yes.
And Wade Phillips. Got really good overnight and now have gotten really bad overnight. And I think the truth is somewhere in the middle of all of it.
Yeah, but
they
when,
probably weren't the
but when they
were
weren't
they, 13-0 or some ridiculous
no,
record
they
when
weren't,
they came
they
here.
They weren't elite.
They weren't as good as when people thought they were great,
and
they're not as bad as when people
yeah,
think they're
not as bad.
Number one overall pick bad right now.
But when
right.
they were bad before they got good, they were like 8-8 bad.
No, I know.
They weren't 2-14.
No, I know. But that's my point, is they're probably a 10-win
team. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to see them go 8-8.
Somewhere in the middle, not a 14-win team.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see them go 8-8 or 9-7 next year, even if they play a rookie quarterback.
It's all about the quarterback.
If whoever
he poops
plays.
Himself, if he doesn't poop himself.
But I think.
I know everybody likes to sit from afar and evaluate quarterbacks, and, you know, Buffalo stinks because they have no insurance policy, but the Patriots have great disaster relief and all this. But I think quarterback is a tough position to evaluate and to make these, like, grand assumptions based on anything, unless it's the proven starter guys who you know what you're going to get out. I think it's a crapshoot at quarterback.
Yeah, some of the guys are good enough that they're going to make any system work, or they're going to bring their system like Peyton Manning did. He just brought his system to Denver. He's going to make that work with other players, and he has elite talent around him at those skill positions right now. But there's most of the guys.
And it's not like Denver didn't have talent already.
Most of those guys, though, most of the quarterbacks, they're sort of reliant on the support system around them, not just the talent level around them, but I think Bill Belichick makes Tom Brady a lot better than he is. Now, I think Tom Brady makes Bill Belichick a lot better, too.
Imagine how bad Brady would be if he didn't have Belichick at this point in his career.
I think it's...
Sam would have him 38th.
Right, see, this is why... guests are reluctant to come back on our show.
He wasn't reluctant.
No, he wasn't.
He came right back on the horn. I actually thought we might not get him today because he's been doing real radio.
Well, I know he appeared earlier defending his position on WEEI in Boston, but...
But Sam's... He's one of us.
Yeah, and we didn't even insult
him. By that, I mean sort of internet-based guy.
Right, yeah.
Is he British?
I think he's I think he was Irish.
Asked him about the babies in the sewer.
Well, I mean, we asked him about a lot of things.
Well, we asked him if he had sex. I mean,
it's
not a whole lot that you left in the hole.
Is that not a fair question?
We actually met him in Buffalo, I believe.
We met him in Buffalo.
A few years back when he was just starting out. With his enterprise.
I don't know if he's a nice man.
Let's go back.
I thought Aaron Hernandez was fine, too, and then he killed a
Back onto
people.
The Ace Ticket Hotline
I
now.
I never would have said very nice man about him.
Dave in Connecticut.
And neither would you.
Before these two can stop talking.
Why don't you shut up?
I'm not talking. Food's here.
Dave, you're on.
You want to talk? Floor's yours.
Dave.
Plus, Dave's not even on!
Dave.
You know.
Dave, you know, in Connecticut, you know. Okay. Dave.
One of us doesn't have tomatoes.
Call us back if you were not paying attention
there. Did you get
no tomatoes? But perfect time for lunch to have arrived because we do need to take a break. I need to screen some emails. We need to have some food. But we will take more of your phone calls and emails after the break. 508-298-0398, 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com. We'll be back right after this.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved, with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
We all know that Paul Perillo is an award-winning journalist, but did you know he's also an excellent babysitter?
Guys, knock it off.
Paul excels in communication.
I have a terrible mouth.
You do have a terrible mouth.
Not to your kids, though, right?
When I want emphasis.
Teaching.
They listen to you more when you swear?
Wait, what do you use?
When I raise my voice and I get angry and I might, you know, I'll kick your A or something like that.
Oh, he's threatening.
Wow, violent.
And discipline.
I'm going to tell you right now, if Will gets arrested when he's 16, if they have an open beer in the car, I am going to hit him. Okay? I'm telling you right now. But it won't be a spanking on the ass either.
In need of a sitter this weekend? Call Paul at 855-PATS-500 or email your babysitting request to webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Fred, Andy, Eric, and Papa Perillo.
Any violence in the Perillo household this weekend? Did the boys behave themselves, Paul?
No. And Beth had to work on Sunday, so we had a very pleasant day.
Did you?
Did some swimming. Pool was up and running.
Yeah, got the pool all set up.
Nope. So, and then they even came.
No scoldings?
I had to go food shopping, and a lot of times that they whine when they have to do those kinds of things, but they did it. They behaved very well.
I used to love going food
shopping. No raising my voice, no F-bombs.
I was afraid you
shouldn't. I don't want to exaggerate. I don't use the F-bombs with the kids very often. I don't use the F. It's usually,
not that, you know, bad language is acceptable at any time, but they're usually less offensive words than that.
Okay.
Did you notice that, Eric? When he came through the door, I was already cringing.
You were cowering,
in case I got the order wrong.
Right.
Well, you were lucky because I got the order wrong. I wrote the wrong thing down, but I just want to thank Steve and Colleen.
We're all lucky.
We are coming through.
We are Colleen and up at that lunch, thanks to Steve.
And, you know, God forbid Paul eat a buffalo chicken calzone instead of a wrap. Tough life.
First of all, I wasn't complaining about it at all.
Shouldn't be. No, it was the fries.
But I ordered the wrong thing. Oh, it's terrific.
Terrific.
Now, is there blue cheese in there?
Yes, he's nodding while chewing.
So they put blue cheese in it, and they cooked it, and that's intriguing to me. I might have to try that sometime. And by sometime, I mean in 5 minutes.
It looks it. I can't really tell. It looks like this, like coating around it. Yeah,
that's interesting. While we're bringing up weekend stuff, and since we teased it last week, I should just give a quick review of the George Strait, Faith Hill,
yes,
Kennedy, that's right. Pope, something Pope. Some voice. She's from The Voice.
I don't know.
Cassidy. Cassidy Pope.
Okay.
From The Voice. Great time. Beautiful night at Gillette Stadium. I will say Cassidy Pope was fine. She was the opener.
Yep.
Tim McGraw puts on a phenomenal show.
Yeah, he does.
Faith Hill looking old and sucked. And George Strait
delivered.
Great, but he's not the showman that McGraw is.
Well,
He falls in that comparison. But, you know, traditional, old school, here's my guitar, I'm standing in the middle of the stage, and I'm going to sing some great music kind of guy.
No frills.
I mean, a little bit, but
not
Kevin's
like,
little digital boards had some flames on them a couple times and a few different things.
How many of the 60 number one hits did he perform?
I don't know. That's a good question. Not 60. I mean, he put on a good show.
How long was he? How long was he on?
Probably 2:20, close to somewhere in that, 2 hours, 20 minutes, something like
Strait
that.
Strait himself was 2 hours?
Yeah, for the most
part.
I mean,
so that was a long show.
You know, we don't need to get into it, but he did the asinine, stupid, overrated, cliche curtain call thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I hate. I don't get. Stupid. Oh, I don't cheer, so he's not going to come back out. Yes, he is. He planned to sing Cowboy Rides Away as the last song.
Well,
it's the name of the tour. It's the name of the song.
Course,
he's going to sing it.
Right.
So if I had booed for 10 minutes, he would have come back out with his crew. But beyond that, very good show, and I came away with a greater appreciation for Tim McGraw. He's a very good showman.
He really is. Well, he's a headliner.
And they all seemed legitimately humbled and honored to be part of George Strait's kind of final leg of the concerts here. And Faith Hill even effed up. She forgot words to a duet she was doing with him and was like, "Oh God, help me! I'm so nervous."
One of his songs?
Yeah. And but it was a very good show.
Long show, then, huh?
That's the other thing, by the way.
Long show?
Oh yeah, it was like essentially, it was five hours, but there's probably 4 hours of music.
Yeah.
And the extra hour kind of moving stuff around. But I had great seats, and I now have a greater appreciation for concerts when you have great seats.
Now they're not overrated.
No.
Music's no longer overrated.
When you have great seats, they're really good. I walked up to the bathroom, and it sucked. You know, you're far away, you're watching on the screen, the guy's an ant on the show, the sound doesn't as good.
Where
in
the stadium
were you? Oh, I was on the field. Row 15 or something. Phenomenal.
But
I don't think I can ever go again unless I get great seats like that. But it was a good time. A lot of Patriots were there.
Oh, yeah?
Ninkovich.
Such as?
Aiken, Gostkowski, Amendola, Russ Hochstein was there.
Ex-Poker. Why can't I be the opener?
Matt Patricia came out. I think he might have had some family in the front row that he gave me
a
few minutes to. So.
It was a good time. What's your favorite George Strait song?
I got a few. All My Exes is up there.
Yeah.
The I'm Not Here for a Long Time, Here for a Good Time.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the modern ones I like. I Saw God Today.
Uh-huh. That's one of the more modern ones, though.
Yeah. I like the one he has now, I Got a Car or whatever, is one of his hits on the radio right now. I like him a lot. I like almost all of his songs I can enjoy listening to. He's one of the few artists that I'm like that with.
He's very good.
So...
He's very good.
He got it done.
Yeah, I liked him.
They had a nice thing where they gave away a home.
Plus, his name is Strait, so, you know.
Right. I often wonder, would it be as popular if his name was George Gay?
That would be an amazing tour, though, if there was a country guy whose name was Gay.
Yeah.
The Gay and Strait tour.
Yep.
Paul's just shaking his head in disgust. Paul's not interested one bit. Fred's not with us today. He's out in Los Angeles with NFL meetings. And Andy, as you just heard, is back with us. He was back last week, but he's back from his vacation. Paul, not this one here eating, but from Doesn't Say Where, writes in and says, could we have more shows without Andy Hart? Without Andy, It was awesome just talking good Patriot football and especially impressive in the offseason. Andy could do his own arguing, The View, Barroom, Talk Show for people who like that. Thank you. I'm just a huge Patriots fan.
Which is about 200,000 listeners.
Webpage for Patriots news.
You're a humorless dink.
I thought I just sent that to somewhere else. I sent that to the show?
Yeah, you did.
And by the way,
yeah.
Unlike
sorry,
Sam,
Andy.
I don't need to ask this guy if he has a lot of sex. He doesn't.
Alex from Philly, meanwhile, says, last show, many listeners touched on the difference with the show when Andy is there and when he's not. In my opinion, the shows are at their best when you all are there. Fred's homerism, Paul's general anger with small things, Andy's asininical nature, and Eric's infamous pomposity all provide a good balance to the show, which makes the shows great. The reason why the shows are different without Andy is, while Fred is the epicenter of all arguments, Andy is usually the catalyst. Also, which is true. Also, the arguments between Fred and Andy are different than the arguments Fred has with Paul or with Eric. Usually with Andy, the two are arguing two different things and yelling over each other. With Paul, the two actually arguing the same point and actually agree with each other, yet Fred will continue to push Paul's buttons until he explodes. And with Eric, it's just Fred discussing his personal life and Eric getting pissy. Like I said earlier, the shows are at their best when you all are there. That's Alex in Philly. And he makes a good
point.
That's
clearly a long-time listener.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that
pretty
that's
much
well
exactly,
that's,
that nails it.
And it is the beauty of our audience. It's the beauty of our show. Everybody likes us in different ways. Everybody loves Fred, loves Paul, loves me. Eric's here. did you have... I don't want to bring it up, if, and Kevin's here, too.
Yes.
He gets lunch. Did you have any discussions with Jackie about anything from Friday night when she covered an event?
Did I have any discussions with Jackie about Friday when she covered an event?
Since then?
I
don't
want
to bring it up if it's...
I have had discussions with Jackie since Friday, but not about the event that she covered.
Ask her about the event and something that may have come up. But I don't want to say it on the air until you know.
Okay. May have come
nothing
up with
bad.
Who? May have come up with who?
With her and the audience at the Brady event. Some
there was an audience?
There's a live crowd.
Oh, okay.
It's a charity football game. It'd be kind of boring if no one was there.
Okay. I will ask her later then.
Maybe we'll talk about it on Thursday afterwards.
Okay. Wait, does it involve me?
Sort of. By
Andy what? And Paul are now having a discussion.
Why are you pointing to your chest?
Off the air.
No, it wasn't about Jackie's boobs.
I was thinking, did someone make an inappropriate, you know, let me see your boobs or something
no.
like that kind of comment out of the stands?
No.
Okay, well, I will, I'll talk to her later.
She's probably mad at me.
All right, we just got, we just had a Paul email. Now we're going to have an Andy email.
From Andy?
From doesn't say where. So I don't know if you're writing into the show now either, but.
No, I would say Andy in Dartmouth.
This Andy is saying, hey guys, excuse me.
He said, excuse me.
Fighting, for what? No, I'm fighting a little bit of a cold, so I apologize for my voice. Hey guys, first time emailer, long time listener. I know our offense all depends on Gronk's health, but what are some stats you guys predict for our pass catchers? My predictions.
Oh, is this the guy?
Yes, this
oh,
is
this
the
guy.
This is your guy.
Andy is an extremist.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
And so is this email. His predictions. Amendola, 110 catches. Paul, you writing this down? Okay. 110 catches, 1,200 yards, 6 touchdowns. And his explanation, Amendola will have a career year. He'll become Brady's go-to target and stay healthy all season. You watch. Okay? Gronkowski, 95 receptions, 1,400 yards, 11 touchdowns. His explanation, Gronk will have a career year as well and stay healthy for all 16 games. So far, so good here, guys.
Wait, how many touchdowns was that?
That's 11.
Not a career year.
That wouldn't be a career year for him. But go ahead.
Aaron Dobson, 75. 1,250. 5 touchdowns. Dobson will live up to the second-year jump expectations. All right? So far, so good, right? 3 for 3. I think that would be pretty good for output for Dobson and for all those other two guys. Edelman. Now, here's where he gets a little bit, you know, sour. 50 receptions.
Oh, the 3 1,200-yard receivers wasn't little bit out of whack?
Right. 50 receptions, 700 yards. This is coming off a 1,000-yard season, remember, and only 3 touchdowns. Edelman will have an injury-plagued year. That's his prediction.
But still catch
okay.
a relative decent
that's
amount of passes.
A decent amount, yeah.
Would have been, had last year not happened, would have been by far a career year.
A career for Edelman, right. Shane Vereen. That wasn't... That was not Shane Vereen.
That was off air, not on air.
Yeah, it was on air. Shane Vereen
was air, thankfully.
Yeah, it was air.
Fingers were crossed on that one. Not going to lie to you.
45 catches, Paul, for Shane Vereen. 550 and only 2 touchdowns. Okay, I'll go through that again. 45.
Remember when he said he was going to give me some of that calzone?
And 2.
Unless he's like Mama Bird and he's going to regurgitate it for me, I ain't seeing any.
Paul's guy, Boyce, 30 catches.
I don't want all that. Just slice a slice off, please.
I don't want all that. Don't
now
give me that.
Now they're fighting over food.
Now he's just throwing it
Yeah,
the
now
table.
He's throwing it. Boyce, 30 catches, 450, and 1 touchdown. And really at the bottom of the barrel here, Brandon LaFell, 25, 350, and 1. So we'll give Paul a little time to do some math totaling there.
Andrew, seriously, eat the rest of that, Kels.
And, no, I already know the math.
Well, Andy ends his email with Tompkins and others will be cut. What do you guys think?
I think there's a chance Tompkins gets cut.
Absolutely.
I don't think there's a chance that Tom Brady throws a career-high 430 completions for a career-high, and I believe NFL record, 5,900 yards and change, you know, some 500 more. And I also certainly don't think if he has that great a year doing that, he only throws, how many touchdowns is it, Paul? Not a lot. 20-something, 28, 29, 30?
Five,
Paul's lips seven, are moving. He's adding in his head.
29.
If so, if this all happens, then Stephen Ridley is going to have a phenomenal year. Even though he may not rush for a lot of yards, he's going to have like 25 touchdowns or something on the goal line. I think it's overly positive, to say the least.
Okay.
Any one of those would be great and could happen.
It would be
I
great.
I think Dobson could have 1,200, right. Or I think Gronk could have 1,400, or I think Amendola might stay healthy and catch 100.
Healthy, right.
The chances of all three of those happening, I need Sam Munson to come on. He's a numbers guy and tell me that there's no shot in hell
that's right. 5,900 yards is what, and this is, by the way, this
is a pretty
is
good
only,
year now.
But this is only 7 guys.
It's a pretty good year now. Oh, yeah. You got none of like the 3 here, the 6 there, the 8 there.
I mean, you know, the 10 catches Manawa that Blueman will have.
Ridley gets his 1 or 2.
You know, five screens to
Ray
Golden
Rice.
What's
that guy's name?
Roy James, Finch.
James White.
No, Roy Finch.
Roy Finch.
Really? We're going Roy Finch before
well, strippers.
We go James
I'm
White.
Kinda, I'm doing the cheap pop for Mick Foley. I know strippers will get excited anytime we mention Roy Finch for the next 4 months until he's cut. Oh, sorry, strippers didn't say that.
I think probably his most accurate prediction might be Edelman 700 yards and having some injuries.
Certainly would be the most likely. If you were to say the most likely of any of those, I would say that. The next one, you know, if it's a likely to be an insane, would be Gronk.
Gronk,
he stays healthy. Because if he stays healthy, it's
going
to
dominate.
That. That'll be what it is.
Absolutely.
A lot of catches, a lot of yards, and a lot of touchdowns.
Absolutely.
I have no doubt in my mind of that. The other two, Dobson, who's in a boot now to say he's going to have 1,200 yards, is certainly...
Yeah, I could see the 75 catches for Dobson, but 1,250 yards is a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't have any sauce. Just I had... Like gravy, that's all.
I call it sauce. It's not.
Now, I'm like the
rest. It's in the box. It's
what,
inside.
Am I Aaron?
It's inside the box.
It's in the box? No, it's still in the garbage can. I can't do it. Don't do it.
It's like Seinfeld. In trash, in the garbage is garbage.
Oh, I'm not disputing whether or not it was garbage, but it's closed in a plastic container inside a box.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Won't do it.
All right.
I'm curious now, listeners.
Yeah.
It comes in one of those little plastic, you know, restaurant type containers, you know. The cover was back on, so it's tightly sealed within a pizza box.
Can't do it. The
said pizza box is in the barrel.
Can't do it.
Would you do it?
And it's Won't do it.
There's nothing. It's not like you have to dig through trash to get it. It's basically in an empty barrel. Just curious.
Mm-mm. We'll get responses.
I don't think I would do it either.
Probably not. All right, I kid you not. This is another Andrew writing in about wide receivers. This one is a different Andrew completely from Red Bank, New Jersey. I know exactly where that is. A friend of mine from prep school lives there. Hi, gang. Can you talk about how you
see
feel?
See one of those famous alumni?
He's famous to me. Can you talk about how you feel about our existing wide receivers, player by player? He has 5 specific questions for us. Number one, is Amendola going to improve and fit more into a, quote, Welker role?
I could see him 110 catches, 1,200 yards, and, I don't know, 6 touchdowns. Oh, wait.
It just came to me.
That was the last guy.
Yeah.
I do think that he'll be better. I think he'll be more comfortable. I think the durability factor, I think he played 12 games last year, so I don't think that was as big an issue in retrospect as I thought it was during the season. I said it when he did not have any surgery or anything after the season was over. I think he'll be better than he was last year, but I don't look at him as,
you know, a guy who's going to average, you know, 15 yards a catch. He is what he is.
Yeah.
I go with the latter.
Yeah.
You know, you're five, what's this, year six for him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're 6 years into your career. I have to assume that the first five, if I kind of average those and sum them up, that's what you are.
Which is why
I don't believe in the Paul Perillo year six jump, so therefore I'm going to say, eh.
Which is why I'm afraid that we're going to see the Edelman revert back to what he's been giving us for most of the time.
But at least we have one of the jumps to go
yes,
with.
Yes.
He can do that. He can right. be. Now, the he offense wasn't 16. Very good at times when he was that and blah, you know, blah, blah. But.
He has a lot of sarcastic cracks with different things.
Year six jump?
Well, it was okay that Edelman had a year five jump.
Right. It's a good point, Paul. Very good point.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, right. like it was completely out of the realm of possibility. You know, I don't believe in the Paul Perillo year five. Well, there's a guy who exceeded his career totals in 1 year.
A little different.
Yep.
Because it doesn't suit your argument. That's the difference.
No, because he wasn't playing behind a guy. My guess would have been, in Paul Perillo fashion, anybody can do it. Had he had the opportunity 4 years earlier, he could have, had he played 16 games in the Wes Welker role, caught 100 balls. But
Eric,
he never had the opportunity.
If? He's got a mouthful.
If my aunt had
what
balls,
else is new?
My aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
That's right. No, listen, you guys know what I feel about the...
It's okay to say bad stuff if you just say it in a funny voice
right.
faintly, right?
Right, and you make Eric laugh. I mean, that works. The whole slot position, I do think that Brady tends to fixate on that and throws an inordinate amount of passes to that position.
Even
and
in camp, he only threw to Edelman last Friday is what I read on the internet.
And I do think if Edelman weren't here last year and Amendola had to play all those games, his numbers would have been closer to Edelman's if he played 12 games. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have gotten to Edelman's because he only played 12 and not 16.
Mm-hmm.
But his numbers would have been better because Brady just would have kept throwing him the ball.
All right, Andrew's second question. Who will be the deep threat? Josh Boyce, Kamrell Tompkins, Aaron Dobson? None of the above?
I would go with Dobson as the best receiver of that group. I think Boyce has a chance to be sort of a home run hitting type change of pace guy, if that makes sense. I think that he can... I don't look at Boyce as a guy who's going to get you 70 catches, but I look at him as a guy who might be able to get you 30 or 40, and among those, maybe, you know, five plays of 30 yards or more. I think he can make big plays.
Anything like DeSean Jackson in the body makeup,
size? A very poor man.
Very poor.
DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
I don't see him being, you know, DeSean Jackson's a guy who's, you know, he's nearing 100 catches and thousands of, you know, 1,000-yard seasons. I don't see Boyce in that kind of a consistent playmaking role, but I do think he can make plays. Dobson, to me, is the best receiver. I don't think
overall,
as much. Yeah, I don't think much of Tompkins, as you guys know.
No,
I think that he's a nice story. I think he's working hard, and I don't dismiss his chances of making the team, but I would put him third behind those two. I think the other two have more talent than he does.
Third question, what type of wide receiver is Brandon LaFell, X, Y, or Z?
He's a big, slower guy. I don't know the X. I'm not going to listen. I could sit here and tell you what this one it is. I'm not going to pretend that I know all of that stuff and that it means anything to me. I think he's a number two guy who's more of a possession type receiver. While we're out, huh? More of a possession type receiver in my mind. Would you agree,
Brandon LaFell?
Yeah, I would even go beyond that and say.
Andy's pouring some beverages
for me?
A little bit.
Complimentary aspect of the offense.
If he is higher on the list of production than Amendola, Edelman, Gronkowski, and Dobson, I don't think it's a good sign for the offense.
Where would you have him in terms? Would it be the X, the Y, or the Z?
I don't think he has a position.
He's still learning.
Thank you.
Okay.
I just said to Eric, I'm not going to pretend that I know all the different things. I know that the Z is the slot, but what traits go into an X or a Y? I don't know. I think he's
tell me who else gets hurt and can't play, and I'll tell you where he's playing.
Yeah, and I think he's more of a possession type guy,
which is ironic for a guy who can't catch.
He's got good size, so maybe he can be a threat in the red zone if they choose to use him that way. On the maybe some fades down
but
around
again,
the goal.
He has
I don't
good
know
size for. I mean, he's 6'2". Let's not pretend he's 6'6". You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
I'm not
he's good
he's
size compared to Edelman and Amendola.
Which makes him stand out among Patriots receivers.
You compare him to an
though.
Average NFL wide receiving corps right. in any other league, any other city. And
yeah, that's the thing. We're well, used, to, we're used to having guys who are
an average wide receiver.
In the fives.
There's plenty of teams that have 6'4 receivers.
Yeah.
Not that are great like Calvin Johnson,
no,
but they have one
the
on
bodies.
The roster.
Right.
We don't. We think we
so
have
stands out.
We're so accustomed that 6'2 is now tall.
It is. His final two questions.
Well, we consider Dobson a giant at 6'3.
Yeah.
His final two questions. This is Andrew from Red Bank. Is Edelman going to be the only wide receiver with high receptions, or will it be more balanced? And anybody else out of the free agents that they've picked up?
It'll be more balanced because I think Edelman's probably due to miss some time or whatever, and they weren't that good when it was just going to Edelman late last year.
If Gronk is healthy and available more often than not, then I think you have a chance to have much more balance on offense. Now, those guys, you know, Gronk will be the leader.
Yep. No doubt.
But I think you have a chance to get everybody else involved. I think you saw a little of that. You saw Vereen have some big catching, big reception games when Gronk was available.
Well, when no one's within 20 yards of you, it makes it easier to catch
well,
the ball.
But that's my point.
All right, let's try a second time for Dave in Connecticut. You there this time, Dave?
Yes, guys. Sorry about the dead disconnection. Two questions for you guys.
Okay.
First question being, all injuries aside on these two guys, Keller or Finley,
yep.
Who would you rather have as a free agent?
I would rather have Keller because I'm less concerned about a knee injury than I am a neck or spinal injury, whatever
right,
it was.
But I'm taking the injuries out of the equation. Say they're both 100% healthy, just based on their playing abilities. Who would you rather have?
I would probably take Finley, but I think they're very similar. I think they're both mid-level tight end talents. I think they're both guys. I think Finley has a little bit more pure ability, but right. I've seen Keller make plays. I've seen Keller, you know, catch. They're both 50-catch type tight ends to me. They're not 80, 90, 100 catch.
I think Belichick would probably go for Keller, just having that knowledge of playing against them. You know, yeah,
could be.
Knack at picking players that have hurt us in the past.
Yep, no question, and Keller has hurt us. But, yeah, it's a nice hypothetical, but unfortunately, there's no reality in it because both have major knee injury problems.
And I agree with what you're saying. I'd rather go to the knee than the neck.
No question.
You know.
You can play on a bad knee. You can't play on a bad neck.
On a neck. You won't get away, and that's it.
Yep.
Second question, guys. I'm sure you haven't had total access yet with the OTAs, but from what you have seen, from what little you've seen, has anyone stood out to you? Any one player?
Well, I think Boyce had a nice day the other day when we were out there.
Yeah.
So far, it's the only day we've seen. So it's
and other than that,
really tough.
I'm trying to think of anybody.
Don't get your
because you can't. We really can't assess a defensive play because they can't.
Right,
they can barely touch each other.
They're
they
running
can't
around.
Tackle. They're just.
I will say,
around.
45. Who's that? That's Cameron Gordon, right? Is that my guy?
I think so.
I think he's if he's the guy I'm
linebacker
thinking of,
from.
I liked him
Michigan.
Outside linebacker. It's a thin position. He intrigued me with his length and running around. Just this is early on, one sight unseen. If you made me pick one player we know nothing about that I think might make this team, Cameron Gordon. That's my guy, Paul.
Yep.
Right?
Gordon's the guy right now. That's
don't hold me to that. I could turn full circle come Thursday when
Absolutely.
I see him a second time.
You haven't had the opportunity to really
right.
get you know, a full look at anybody.
But, keep that name in the back of your mind. And when he makes the team, Dave, you say, whoa, I heard that first from Andy Hyde.
Right.
Right.
That's right. He's like Nostradamus.
Yes.
All right, guys.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call, as always.
Twice.
Michael from Doesn't Say Where, again, very, very popular place whenever whenever Fred's not here. Doesn't Say Where is a very popular spot to email from.
I always assume Mike is from Huntsville.
Oh, jeez.
Alabama.
Sure, yeah. Guys, just want to hear your thoughts and predictions on these roster battles. Okay, he's got five of them listed here. Will Smith versus the combination of Jake Beckett and Michael Buchanan.
Oh, Jake Beckett was there the other night, too.
I think George Strait?
Yeah. I don't think Jake Beckett's making the team, so if that's the answer.
Okay, so then Will Smith and Michael Buchanan.
Yeah, I think Jake Beckett has 1% chance to make this team. I think he's done.
All right, but the other one's kind of interesting because Buchanan got some run last year.
Sure.
And got a lot of it.
And Will Smith went to the bubble, I believe, too, right? He was on my list.
Your bubble?
No, the...
Oh, yes.
Bubble.
Nobody goes to my bubble.
Yes, I mean,
my bubble's toxic.
Bill, well, that's what. That's why I wanted to make that distinction.
You just burst your bubble a little while ago.
I wanted to make that distinction.
Oh, and there's more coming.
Oh, God.
No. I can feel the rumblings already.
Bill mentioned at the draft, I want to say the third day of the draft, that Will Smith would be.
You don't have to tell me you want to say it. If you say it, I know you want to say it.
What an
semantic
ace.
Arguments.
What an ace.
To tell you the truth.
That he wouldn't
I assume you're always telling me the truth.
See, I had a boss at the Herald.
To be honest.
I knew everything coming after that line was complete and utter fiction.
Who?
I'm not going to tell you who.
Why? Just to be honest.
Hank?
No. No. He was awesome. He was the best boss I ever worked for.
Wow.
Did you hear the sniff?
Wow. Shot across the
See,
country.
I'm different there because Fred's the best boss I ever worked for.
I have to agree with you.
Fred is the best boss I ever worked for.
I don't really have a lot of bosses to compare him to.
But Hank was excellent.
Fred's calling in now saying, Paul, you're going to get a new boss pretty soon. It's your next job.
But Hank's predecessor.
Yeah, like he'd find another job. Wow.
To be perfectly honest with you, and I mean, half the time I didn't even keep listening. That's how much I knew that whatever followed.
Okay, continuing.
Where is he now?
I don't know.
Dead?
No.
Oh.
Doesn't work at the Herald anymore.
Continuing with the roster prediction battle, Josh Boyce, Paul's guy, and Brandon LaFell.
I like Boyce.
I think they're both going to make it.
I do too.
LaFell is going to, I mean, they paid him some money.
Yeah.
LaFell is a virtual lock.
And Boyce, I think, has some potential.
Like,
if you made me say one of them is going to get cut, I think I would go with Boyce.
Yeah, because I don't think there's
fourth
any chance that LaFell does.
You know, if he's pooping himself and doesn't know where he's supposed to be, which I assume was at least a part of the problem last year, mm-hmm. was the acclimation to the offense. I mean, when you're just a healthy scratch at times, that's not a good sign for a supposedly talented rookie.
Cannon, Marcus Cannon, and Dan Connolly.
This is a roster battle?
Yeah.
Then I would say Conley's out.
Conley,
he makes more money.
If one
and
of those guys
of
has
line.
To go, it would be Conley.
Because of the money.
Yeah, I don't think either one of them will go, though. But, yeah, Cannon's not going anywhere.
I think Conley could.
But see,
he could. I don't think
if one of these young guns, Stork or...
well, that's his next one, actually.
Calipio?
Stork and Wendell.
On a steak.
Stork and Wendell is his next one.
Stork and Wendell.
Which is very interesting.
Wendell is going to get cut.
I don't think there's any.
Stork will not get cut. He'll either be on IR or something.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance Stork does, so I'd have to go Wendell.
Every year we have those, that question from fans, who's your surprise training camp cut? At this point, I would say Wendell would be a surprise cut only because they signed him to a two-year deal.
If we're predicting it in June, is it really a surprise?
Well, not to us.
Well,
but
the other thing, though,
to most people who don't normally.
And
watch
I go through this every year.
Yeah, right.
But if you're asking me, if you're asking me a surprise cut, then I'm telling you I'd be surprised if he were cut.
Right.
No matter what time of year it is.
Yeah.
So but, Wendell is not a surprise
but if
cut.
But if I'm giving you a...
Because you're expecting him to be cut.
Well I'm
expecting not
expecting there's
him
a
to
chance.
Be cut.
Oh, so he would be a surprise cut.
What I'm
saying, is he or is he not a surprise cut?
I would say he would be a candidate to be a surprise cut.
So you are not expecting him to be cut?
No.
Okay.
Are you?
Yes.
You're expecting him to be cut.
If you made me say, I have to make one of them 51%, I would say 51% he'll get cut.
Out of those two.
Yeah, I think there's 0% chance that Stork gets cut.
I would agree with that. But I'm just talking about in general on the roster.
I think I'm playing the role of Fred here, and we might be agreeing, but arguing about
Wait a minute. I missed the beginning of this email, so we might be arguing.
It's very short.
No,
it's very short. He just said, I want to hear your thoughts.
I got a phone call.
And predictions on these roster battles. That was the extent of the intro to the
email. Okay, if you're telling me it's just between those two guys, I would agree wholeheartedly with Andy. I don't think Stork is going anywhere. So by process of elimination, I think there's a chance that Wendell gets cut.
Yeah.
So
problem is,
that makes it
a lot of these guys
aren't
really competing with each other for
exactly.
A spot.
So I'm saying that I think Ryan Wendell will be part of the Patriots this year, but
maybe
he
not
could be
for
a
much
candidate
longer.
For
right.
a surprise cut.
Right. And his last
Except
one,
you're expecting it.
I'm not expecting him to be cut.
His last one is James White, the undrafted running back, and Brandon Bolden.
Bolden's going to be cut. I put him in almost in Jake Beckett.
I think White,
not
I think
quite
White,
as far, but
I think Bolden would be gone.
I agree. Yeah.
I mean, plus I took another step in that direction when he was with the injured group.
Yep.
He's always got something, that guy.
He's the offensive version of Brandon Spikes. Not quite as boisterous and Twitterous and all that, but
or productive.
That one game against the Bills 2 years ago, he was good.
All right.
Remember last year, you throw him a screen pass and he fumbles it.
Ace Ticket Hotline, Eldridge
might
is on there.
A swing pass.
Eldridge, I hope you've pulled over.
I'm good. I got a headset. I'm driving down 65 going from Nashville all the way to Alabama.
Nice.
From Nashville to Alabama, huh?
Do you go through Huntsville?
Yep.
Do you see any mics there?
See, he just won't let that one go.
I saw you guy George Strait the other night. Good show.
Yeah.
Now, is the Cowboy really going to ride away?
No, he's basically admitted it. He's coming back.
Then why are they doing this whole thing?
Money.
Why do they all do it?
No, but why are they doing...
No one ever has
why
a
they
farewell
all these...
concert, and that's it.
But he literally only had
that's
to wait
supposed
until
to be.
Next weekend before he started to backtrack. He started backtracking a month ago in interviews. Like, I just can't really imagine I'm really walking away and saying like these things. So don't say it.
They can't walk away, man. They like the fame. They like the glory. They like football players.
The women on the road?
Women on the road, too. They like that also.
Don't we all? Don't
is that,
we all?
Is that the same for truckers? Women on the road?
Just about.
Wow. Do you have affairs at, like, truck stops?
I ain't gonna say I have, but they are there.
And wow. You have, you just ain't gonna say it.
It's only at the truck stops, man. Remember now, you stop it in town. So there's Walmart, there's grocery stores, there's convenience stores. You meet a lot of these.
See, Eric, you're going about it all wrong. You're supposed to be hitting up Walmart.
Now, when other people meet people, do they take them in the back of the truck, or do they take them to, like, a motel, or?
All depends.
All depends? On what?
Depends. All depends on them.
On the how classy the broad is?
How big a bed you have in the cab, right?
It's true.
But for some women, now, you'd be surprised. Some women would like to ride with a truck.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
You know, like to ride around, whatever.
Yeah, they like to ride stick with you.
All right, what do you got football-wise?
And this
Paul's
is giving me the look.
And this is while the truck is parked, of course.
Oh, yes.
Okay, football-wise, well, that caller, the emailer had my questions up. But I went through the podcast, the roster report. It's like 15 wide receivers, about 12 running backs, and about 13 pieces of back. Out of 12 of those receivers, only 6 of them, 6 foot, rest of them 5'11". Running backs, about the same, you got 2 6-foot, rest of them 5'11". Defensive backs, you got three over 6 feet, rest of them 5'11". My point is, we keep drafting the same type of person.
I would eliminate running back, because most running backs are shorter.
Okay. Yeah, but cornerbacks and wide receivers, they're playing the same type of people. They ain't fast, they just... quick, people using the slot. Corners, I don't know. There's a couple of them that I'm kind of intrigued about that's on here. But I ain't got time to get my book because I'm driving down the road. But my question is to that guy last week, says I'm crying about a deep threat. Well, I'm going to keep crying about a deep threat whether you want to hear it or not. Here we get one, okay? Here we get one to leave some pressure off of Brady.
And you don't, based on all this talk of height, you don't care if Josh Boyce can become that? You'll still be looking for a bigger outside deep threat receiver, a taller guy?
If George Boyce or this other guy can do that, I wouldn't care.
Because Boyce might be able to do it. He certainly has the speed. I don't know, you know, where he's going to go as a playmaker. And, you know, we've made the comparisons to a guy like, what's his name in New York?
Antonio Holmes.
Curly?
Ooh, no, for the Giants.
Oh. Victor Ooh. Cruz?
Cruz, missile. But he's not going to be tall. He's not going to be that type of a deep threat. You know, there just aren't that many of those. But I certainly think it's easier at receiver to find those than it is at, say, defensive back. I think tall corners that can play, as Pete Carroll said, go ahead, draft them all. Good luck. Draft them all, because one out of a million is going to be able to, you know, the one he got was a freaking receiver in some people's eyes.
Well, other question is, Terrell Thomas came in.
I like
from the Giants, the cornerback.
Yes, we got that off of Mike Reese from ESPN
they
Boston.
Did they give him an offer, or did they just...
I'm not aware.
We have not heard any update on that, other than that they came in and they had him in for a look-see, but I haven't seen any reports that they offered him anything.
He's the guy they should have drafted when they drafted Wheatley, right?
We all loved him. Remember, all three?
It was right after Wheatley, right? Didn't he go, like, the next pick? Or?
I did, too, but you know what?
The guy might be right.
You know what?
I want to say.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, him, Revis, Browner, Torreella in the middle, and I hate to say this, Dennard, maybe a court in the back, and find me another safety. That's a darn good secondary right there that shit down some people.
You, how tall are you, Eldridge?
How tall am I? 6 feet.
Yeah, you're infatuated with
that. You are infatuated with. You like big women?
No, hell, excuse me.
Why does it keep getting back?
No, I mean
to
tall. I didn't mean cushion for the pushing. I didn't know if he has like this thing about height in all aspects of his life.
Okay, this one goes height wise. Besides Reeves, 5'11", I ain't seen another 5'11" corner that can cover a potential 6'3" receiver that's big, fast, and got height advantage when he jumps. I ain't seen one. 5'3".
Okay.
I haven't seen one.
Ty Law was pretty good.
I take it back. Ty Law, man.
How tall was Deion Sanders?
I
think he was 6 feet tall, right?
Ish.
Certainly wasn't big.
Deion.
Full 6 feet. Yeah, you know, he covered those.
Aeneas Williams, was he a giant? I mean,
he might have been a little taller.
It's about
covering. It's not about size.
Darryl Green, not a giant.
Paul, it's about playing big, not being big.
I just don't think that it's as big a deal as we make it out to be around here. And Eldridge is not in the minority. There's a lot of people. You listen to the talk radio stuff around here, and there's a lot of fixation on size on the outside, both as receivers and about cornerbacks. And if you don't have the size, they're not interested, and I don't really understand it.
You know who I think goes to that school, based on things I remember him saying in the past, is Michael Lombardi. I remember him talking a lot about, you know, if you're half a step slow and you're not quite as athletic, but you have that extra reach in the wingspan, it makes up for a lot and blah, 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 blah. For me, the height at corner is sort of like the height at safety. In an ideal world, if I'm picking fifth overall and I'm looking for the total package, yes, I would love to have the guy who can cover, is fast, is athletic, and, oh, by the way, is 6'3". But it's also really rare and hard to find. There's a reason it's called the ideal.
Yeah, it's great to have. I just don't think it's
necessary. I'm not talking about 6'3 for corners. Maybe 6'5", 6'1", something like that that can move a little bit.
So now we're not happy we got Darrell Revis because he's not 6 feet.
No. I'm happy we got Darrell Revis.
Oh, then let's move on. We have Darrell Revis. We have a Hall of Fame corner. We have at least one Hall of Fame corner, and the rest can fall into position. Be happy.
I want to say for two things there, man.
And the other guy's huge.
I'm happy about that. But the guys in the middle, Dennard, Ryan, Arrington.
All right, wait a minute, hold on. You have two huge, you have an elite cornerback in Revis and a huge cornerback in Browner, so now we're unhappy because our slot guy's not that big?
It's a little like Fred with the offense a couple of years ago.
I mean,
how many Pro Bowl pass catchers you need?
No, the reason why
Ryan and Arrington are not 6 foot, so, I mean.
Arrington can't cover. Dennard can't cover.
Well, they think differently then. They clearly think that Arrington is their best option in the slot.
Yeah, and that's why they're $60 million in the hole.
And that's why they keep going to AFC title games.
I don't need to
play the role of Fred.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I feel like I channel Fred. I mean, how could things be this bad?
No, that's what I'm saying. I love we got Browner and we got Reed. Okay, but the other two guys in the middle. That's what the rest of the team's gonna try to use that.
Well, wait a minute. Now,
who are the guys in the middle?
Arrington and Ryan and Dennard. But you now realize that. There's a chance, maybe, if they somehow believe like you believe, and that Browner and Revis are their starting corners, maybe they like Dennard in the slot. Maybe Dennard will become your slot guy. Because I haven't been as down on Dennard, apparently.
I think Dennard's going to give Browner a run for his money to start on the outside.
Well, maybe. If he's, you know, eligible.
I think there's a chance that he opens up the season as the starter, plays well in those four games, and they mix Browner in. There's a chance.
Could be. All right, Eldridge. Thanks for the call.
Good
luck down in Bama. Roll Tide.
All right, roll Tide.
drive safe now.
Eldridge's a good guy.
Stop by that Walmart and find one of those hotties.
Oh,
I don't agree with a lot of his takes, but
you know the big
guy.
Stretchy pants they wear. Some of the women at Walmart, and I mean stretch to the maximum.
You took a shot at Christian
everybody
earlier. Our guy Christian in Boston.
I would have been disappointed had he not called from Jackassville.
According to VIP strippers via Facebook, Christian has fired back. He said, "Haha,
Facebook,
haha, Jumbo, not listening live today. His mama is turned up, and I'm cranking that bitch all afternoon."
Wow,
that's okay. I'll never read it.
Maybe he took her to a truck stop.
The next time I'm on Facebook will be the first.
Well, you have to have friends to be on Facebook.
Oh, we should talk about
good call, Eric. Good.
I have friends in real life.
As Paul would say, we drink beer and worry about getting laid.
I didn't say worry about it. So that's what
we're trying to get laid.
No, I
usually say trying.
I was getting laid.
You probably should say, because Eric's trying to get
somebody,
laid.
Speaking of which, somebody somebody just wrote in claiming to be the person who was involved in the thing at Harvard Stadium the other night.
Well, what did this person say?
I took my son to see Tom Brady. This is Scott from, again.
Doesn't say where.
Took my son to see Tom Brady at Harvard Stadium on Friday. Our very own Jackie UK was there speaking with Joe Girardi. I think he means Mike Girardi. And and Joe's girl, TC, was not there with him. Tom Curran, I'm assuming he means.
Oh, okay. Boy, this is like getting an email from Matt Smith.
Maybe it is. I accidentally called her Jackie Scalavino, at which time she had a look on her face like something I've only seen in the Zapruder film. Please apologize for me.
Yeah, that was it.
And how did you know about
this? She texted me. She goes, oh, my God, somebody just called me Jackie Scalavino at the Brady event. I said, only in Eric's dreams.
Look at him.
Although it would be weird because it's not the way it works. Why would she take your name?
What do you mean, why would she take my name? When you get married.
She's Jackie Britton. She's in TV. She's a celebrity. Oh. Like, did you know Faith Hill isn't her real name? She was married?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Isn't she married to someone famous?
Well, she's married to McGraw now. She was previously married to a Hill.
Oh. Yeah.
But she became famous with that name. So
made the bitch change her name. Yeah, because she was like getting
famous. She was getting known at that time.
Faith Hill, and she should change it now because she's terrible as Faith Hill. She might be better as Faith McGraw.
Well, how about lack of
faith?
Yeah, there you go.
I thought it was lack of hills because flat as a board.
I would have bet any amount of money that's why she looks so bad.
No.
Lacking the front court, which is the only thing he ever sees.
Because the first person who actually said something was my wife, who said, ooh, she's not aging as well as Tim McGraw is. Now, that could be because my wife was borderline moist over Tim McGraw.
Wow.
Unbelievable. He really is.
Oh, my God.
It was hot out.
Unbelievable.
It was a very nice
track. Okay. Juan is in Florida. Juan. You're on the Ace Ticket Hotline. How you doing?
You're on.
Good. How you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, what do you guys think about signing either James Harrison or Ed Reed?
No, thanks.
Not interested in either one of them, especially Ed Reed.
Yeah. Likewise.
You wouldn't give James Harrison a chance?
No.
Nah.
No.
He's kind of a dink. He didn't do anything for the Bengals. He's done. He's run his course as the allegedly juiced up former low-level football player who became a force. No interest.
I'd
rather watch Jamie Collins play. I'd rather watch Dante Hightower play. Heck, I might rather watch, based on my infatuation after one practice, Cameron Gordon play, if that's his name.
Yeah. Is there any free agents out there that you guys are interested in?
What positions are you concerned about? Safety and linebacker?
Tight end, obviously.
I'll say safety. But there ain't that many safeties out there.
Nope.
No. I don't think you're going to – I mean, a guy like Terrell Thomas, who the Patriots had, we talked about a little while ago, I think there's probably a chance that he could have some versatility and be able to play in the secondary somewhere. Maybe he's not strictly a corner or strictly a safety, but he could probably fill a role for you if he's healthy. I mean, he's obviously had some significant knee problems, but he did play 16 games last year. He's a guy that's out there, but I don't think at this stage you're getting necessarily difference-making type players.
Right.
There's a reason they're still available at this stage of the season, and that's because that they have question marks.
Yeah, the only thing I really have interest in right now is tight end, because you know me. I thought it was the number one need heading into the draft, and we did nothing. And they've had a couple of these veteran visits with these injured guys. I'd like to see them sign one of them because I feel, one thing that you ask for reactions to OTAs, there's no tight ends out there. There's just no tight ends.
Yeah.
It's Omanawanui. It's the tall guy. And, Devlin, I think, took some reps out there the other day. There's nothing. There is nothing on the depth chart at tight end when Gronk is not on the field. I think they need to add something. I know a lot of people have been interested in the guy from Arizona. Is it Hauser? Doogie Hauser?
Rob Hausler, I believe his
name
is.
And Brandon Graham is supposedly on the trading block from the Eagles.
Brandon Graham's the guy I brought up at the draft for everybody. But again, you're talking question marks.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
There's some questions about him, what kind of scheme he would need to be in.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think he'd be perfectly suited for a 4-3, so that's why the Patriots might be interested. I don't know. But there's guys that Brandon Graham, to me, would fit the profile of a guy that Belichick would go after.
Sure.
First-round pick, hasn't really worked out.
And my guess is
he's still young.
They thought he could be a pass rusher and valued him as like a third or a fourth-round pick.
he wasn't tall enough, so that he got overdrafted. But now, if I just get him for a,
you know, now you get him on your terms.
Yeah,
that's and the you Patriot give him a way. Chance.
Right. Now, obviously, we haven't mentioned Andre Johnson. You know, after they swap Mallett for Johnson, that'll fix everything.
Well, they would have to probably throw in a second round pick.
They
being
Houston. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Anything else, Juan?
Yeah, going back to what Rodgers was saying about cornerbacks on their 6 foot that haven't been very productive, sticking big receivers. What about Asante Samuel when he was in his prime?
Yeah, he was good.
He's another one.
Now, I would say I don't think he matched up physically as well with receivers as Law or Tlaib. I don't think he was as physical a player, and height was a little bit more of a factor against him, but he certainly was a high-level cornerback for this team that was not a tree.
Yeah. Well, that's it, guys. Thanks.
All right, see you, Juan.
Thanks, Juan. There's a lot of free agent stuff that's still probably worth talking.
Well, Fred must be giddy, because this is the time of year when he gets excited.
This is when free agency starts.
Yep.
But, you continue to talk about tight end, and, you know, until they do sign one of these guys, you know, post-June 1, here we are on, what's that, the 3rd, and they still haven't signed anybody.
Although Rob Gronkowski looked good last night on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
I saw that.
I didn't see the.
I saw that he was on there. Yeah. I didn't actually see the clip.
I didn't see
was
it.
He any good?
I don't know.
Was
the only thing I saw, he danced. I mean, he was mildly humorous. He's a funny guy. He makes his. He's funny as he is here when he walks in the locker room.
Right.
When they said Rob Gronkowski and he ends it, and just the faces he makes and like throwing his hands in the air, he's funny. He's a humorous guy, and he looked like he was in good shape. He threw one of these stiff-armed the black guy.
Oh, he did.
And like
Wayne Brady?
Him. Yeah. And he bench-pressed the white guy. You got him?
Colin, the older guy, because there were two of them. There's a really tall,
skinny
guy.
Tall, thin guy?
He had like...
And the older guy was on Two and a Half Men.
What's the guy's name that was on Two and a Half Men, the tall, thin guy?
I used to watch that show.
He was
Judas' husband?
Second husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't him.
It wasn't him.
I know him. This guy I've never seen before. I don't watch the show,
it's though. Colin, I believe.
I had to go to the guide to find the CW.
Anyway, Nick and Victoria writes in, hey, Kevin, can you... This is an email for Kevin.
Had to do with the Patriots.
Can you please make an intro of Paul's out-of-breath interview spot during All Access? I've never laughed at you guys so hard until I saw that piece. I watched it a few times on my DVR because it was that good. Thanks for the great work.
Yeah, that's not one I'll be putting on the resume. Absolutely.
Because it really is.
It was so
it's
funny.
It's one of those things you can watch in a variety of ways. You can listen. You can watch your mouth, which never closes. Like, you're leaving it open to get maximum air in and out. You watch your belly as it expands and contracts. Like, there's different things you can focus
on. It is, seriously, one of the... it's one of the worst moments professionally of my life, in all seriousness. It was unbelievably funny. I mean, I'm just glad that it worked out and we can laugh about it. It wasn't like a total disaster.
Did it work out?
Yeah.
He's better than mother. Different than they have in the basket.
Yeah. Because to be honest with you,
Mike Reese picked you up.
I didn't really hear about too many comments until we talked about it on the show. So, no, that's not true.
Colin Mockery is the name I was trying to think of. Thank you to Glenn.
That's not a real name.
Who wrote
right?
that in?
I mean, he's a comedian and his name is Mockery. I don't buy
I
it.
Never even thought of that. That's a good point.
What else would you be thinking of?
I'm not thinking about his
like
last
Fabio
name.
Fabrizi.
No,
real name.
I wasn't. No, I just wasn't thinking that that was.
He was a weatherman in Providence.
Oh, yeah. It's like, what are you talking about?
All right, back down the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Storm
like, Win and Win, the law firm of Win and Win. I don't buy that one either.
Yeah. Well, or the casino guy, Win.
Him, I might buy. I don't know, but lawyers though, Win and Win, like it just.
Chester is going to bring some energy. He always does. Chester's in Portland.
You just are whacked.
What's up, Chester?
Hey, guys. What's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're loving OTA action.
Yeah, me too, man. And welcome back, Fathead. Good to have you back in the mix, man.
Thank you.
You were missed. But yeah, I got to say, you guys keeping vacations rolling because you're getting better and better with One Man Short, I got to say, just on the sidelines there. But
next man up.
We will keep that going. I'll be missing a show next week.
Yeah, all right. Well, miss you too, Paulie. But listen, I want nothing to do with Ed Reed or Harrison. I mean, this has Adrian Wilson and Burgess written all over it. Sell.
I agree.
Those guys, you know, I just absolutely not. Just want to give a quick shout-out to the PFW Elite Crew. I've been carrying the offseason along with you boys. Quick question on the rookie premiere, guys. This question's been on my mind. I know Garoppolo's kind of a shoe-in, so to speak, as, you know, kind of being a... You know, the incumbent or whatever, but I gotta ask you, why Asia Watson over Easley? I mean, is this just a face work game of these guys looking good in uniform? It just makes no sense as an undrafted guy. And I guess my more specific question there Is there some hype behind this kid's talent that I'm not aware of?
No.
Or was he just chosen by default?
No, no, no. It's you know how the NFLPA has an All-Star game now, whatever it's called. They have it's an NFLPA college All-Star game.
Okay.
In the process from the end of the season to the draft, they wanted one or a number of players from that game, and it's not a very high-level game, to be at the rookie premiere, and he was in that game, so he was invited/chosen because
I'm with Chester. I thought that was a little.
No, there's
odd
no
too.
Hype on him other than in New England, where he's Ben Watson's brother.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was strictly.
I figured the same.
Yeah, it was strictly about the All-Star game he played in, and they wanted somebody there.
Okay. Yeah, it's just I was missed. It seemed just super random, and you know, I want to see Easley in uniform, to be honest with you. But you know, I wondered maybe if it's because there's some contract holdups with him or whatnot. But then Garoppolo wasn't signed at the time either, right?
Yeah. So, no, it's no.
Okay. Cool. That was just a question on my mind. Garoppolo, 4-year deal. You know, I just wondering how this relates to Brady's timetable, if there's any relevance there. I was thinking a 3-year deal was probably going to be out there, but the fact that they tacked on a 4th year, I'm wondering, you know, if there's any subtext to that question there. But
no.
You know, as far as it goes with him. But cool. Hey, lastly, I want to ask you guys. I know Freddie's out today, but we talked a while ago about possible all 4 of you guys showing up in San Diego. I just wanted to keep that under the lens, and if you guys, you know, talk to Freddie next, you know, hit him up, because Pats Nation's getting real fired up over that idea. I know Barry Instead, I was really attracted by the idea, too, but I just wanted to mention that. Not much else on my mind at this point, guys. Just wanted to check in, and hope you guys have a good one. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, over Chester.
Out. Thanks, Chester.
Good stuff. Speaking of chests, Paul and I will only really make the trip to San Diego.
Really
if some female fans can promise to have a bikini contest for us at this big party.
God almighty.
It's San Diego, I mean.
You really should be killed.
Oh, killed? Yeah, that is not appropriate.
You should be. You should be.
Wait a minute. I say a lot of inappropriate things, but that crossed the line.
That's the inappropriatist?
Wow.
Chester, just to answer your question, Andy, there's no relevance to the four. That's the rules. Second round picks. 4-year maximum, so that's the... They didn't tack a 4th year on.
What if you sign him to a 3?
Well, you could do that, but I'm saying that's...
I know.
I mean, obviously, the Patriots are going to get him signed as long as... That's
right.
The way they're going to do it. Mm-hmm. Second round
what
picks,
if you go over the salary cap, too?
Contract. This is why you should be killed.
Again, he's saying it. I mean, giving, nice. You know, recent events... It's...
What if I get killed?
That'd be a great
story.
It actually kind of would if you said you should be killed and then the next day I'm killed.
Just so you know,
it would not be a great story, Andy.
If I were you, I'd be worried about some heat coming down on you. But
we have to get that. We have to get that Anchorman clip. Well, I'd lay low for a while.
I would have to say, well, yeah, I just said it on the air. You can just play it for all to hear.
Low for a while because you're probably wanted for murder.
Probably wanted for murder.
I don't think we should play that.
Really. The guy who wrote in. The guy who wrote in. The guy who wrote in earlier about the roster. Game that we were a little confused about, you know, matching
well,
up the
just
two.
Just because I didn't hear the beginning.
Right.
Of it, yeah.
He says, it was Michael. He says, sorry, guys, I meant to make that email about who has a better chance to crack the rotation or receive more snaps in the regular season. My bad for not making it clear. I'm taking my finals right now, and my English teacher's checking our iPads if we're actually working. Anyways, keep up the great job, and thanks, Eric, for the shout out. You guys make this offseason very entertaining and bearable for fans out here in LA. Say hi to Fred, who are away from the action.
You say hi to Fred.
I think that's what Eric just said to him.
I put that in my own parentheticals.
I don't know when you put it in and when
sorry,
it's in
I got
there.
It. Sorry.
Well, you're just it. Great. You and Eric are like this. Same page.
Right.
Simpatico. Twins. Twins. Italian twins.
Yeah.
is there such that? A thing as Italian twins? Isn't there Irish twins?
I've heard of that, yeah.
What is that? No, I'm being serious.
I know. I'm
no
trying
idea what you're talking about.
I've heard the phrase before.
Isn't it like...
Kevin, you're Irish. What does it
I'm
mean?
Irish.
You're drunk.
Irish twins.
Know.
You've never heard that?
Google that.
It, but I think my computer has a virus or something.
It has something to do with, I think, having kids really close together within a year.
Oh,
maybe?
yeah. That's
or something?
That's
why it's Irish.
That is what it is.
Do they get drunk and have kids?
Well, because Irish Catholics, you know, they don't
that's
believe
we do.
In birth control.
Get drunk
right, which
babies.
Is why there's so, 800 babies found in a thing.
You should have asked Sam Munson that question, Andy.
Wait, he's Irish?
He sounded Irish or something.
Oh, yeah. No, I think he is.
From Ireland?
I don't know if he's actually from Ireland, if he was born there, but I...
Is he in Ireland? Yeah.
He must be.
United? Are they in the United States, or are they over there?
He's probably in Ireland.
I don't know. We saw him in Buffalo.
Which is weird.
Right?
I'm going to make my trip to the U.S. I'm going to go to Buffalo. Got to make sure I see Buffalo.
That's when we met him, right? I don't know why you had to turn into a 1940s broadcaster there, but, you know.
I don't know why I do these things. As you have often said, I'm a little off. I'm whacked. So whatever you say.
You should be killed.
No, he said you should be whacked.
Yes.
I'm not really comfortable with that. That's a new one.
Receiving a death threat from a coworker.
I'm not so sure.
That's what he's not comfortable with.
Right. I took my HR training, and I don't think that's okay.
Are you going to escalate that to a supervisor?
I would, but he's not
here. He's in L.A.
Does that leave me in charge? Mike Alexander Haig?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right. As we mentioned earlier in the show, we do have OTA access on Thursday.
So.
And that's going to overlap with the show. So we're going to bump the show to 1 o'clock Eastern time. We're going to be on 1 to 3.
Put that out there, Kevin.
Kevin, make sure that
pages and stuff and tell all the people.
Gets relayed upstairs so that, you know, that they're not.
Webs and things.
Exactly.
On the interwebs?
On the interwebs. So, yeah, 1 to 3.
PFW Elite. Get it on your pages.
1 to 3 Eastern time on Thursday.
1 to 3.
Where we will just be fresh off the field from having seen our second OTA practice. Kevin, that's the cue to start playing the music.
He was watching TV, sorry.
Because it is 2 o'clock and time for us to say goodbye.
He smile on now, too.
But anyway, we will see you at 1 o'clock on Thursday talking some Patriots football
and
at
stuff.
OTAs and a bunch of other stuff.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.